The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen. Cannonball!
PFW in Progress.
We've been coming to the same party for 12 years now, and in no way is that depressing.
With Fred Kirsch.
I don't know how to put this, but I'm kind of a big deal. People know me. I'm very important. I have many leather-bound books, and my apartment smells of rich mahogany.
Paul Perillo.
I'm all about having fun. You know, get a couple of cocktails in me, start a fire in someone's kitchen, maybe go to SeaWorld, take my pants off. Anyway, I become kind of famous for my signature catchphrase.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
And Andy. And Andy?
The only way to bag a classy lady is to give her two tickets to the gun show and see if she likes the goods.
Just doing my workout. Oh, it's a deep burn. Oh, so deep.
Andy Hart.
I'm the stylish one of the group.
I know what you're asking yourself, and the answer is yes. I have a nickname for my penis. It's called the Octagon. But I also nicknamed my testes. My left one is
Quinn.
And my right one,
Mendenhall.
You ladies play your cards right, you just might get to meet the whole gang.
Eric Scalavino.
Veronica and I are trying this new fad called jogging. I believe it's jogging or yogging. It might be a soft J.
For now, anyway.
You are pathetic. This has to be the feeblest pickup attempt that I have ever encountered. You have a massive erection.
Really? Yes, I do. I'm sorry. It's the pleats.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Gonna find my baby, gonna hold her tight, gonna grab some afternoon delight.
Skyrockets in flight.
Boom!
Afternoon delight.
Whoop!
Afternoon delight.
All right. Welcome to PFW in Progress. Big day here. A lot of news. I don't know what it means, but there's a lot of news. Judge Nelson has lifted the lockout, at least for the day. But no players have showed up here at Gillette Stadium. We'll talk about that, talk about everything else. I think Matt Light had his thing this morning with Peter King, and Logan Mankins was there, and Dan Copen was there. And
Eric Scalavino was there,
and apparently he worked 2 hours this morning, so Paul's giving him the rest of the day off.
Or just following orders.
Is it the week?
Just following
get
orders.
Get the week off now?
And all that.
So, okay.
Just following orders.
That's pretty good job. You know, you do a couple hours work and you get the day off. I like it. Life is good.
It's nice to have life like everybody else.
It's like, that's, I don't know where Paul thinks everybody else is doing.
I never worked at a newspaper. I wouldn't know how it's done anywhere else.
Right. You work 2 hour days at a newspaper?
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, that's maybe why you're not working at the newspaper anymore.
All right.
Anyway,
personal arguments aside, there's a lot of actual football-related news we can talk about.
Just did
today.
Exactly what I was told.
Let's skip the lockout stuff.
You want to skip it? I don't think we can.
I'm more excited about the report with Adam Schefter, I think, citing PFW in Progress as the source that the Patriots are interested in trading up and the Redskins are interested in trading down. And
what do you think?
Could be a marriage.
What do you think the source is on that?
I just think it's chatter.
Well,
my guess is
the fact that you were on an ESPN panel on Saturday and said that exact thing.
Yeah, I'd like to think it's that, but in the real world, I'd also like to hope that the man supposedly has contacts with all 32 franchises and did a lot of talking to a lot of people and, you know, concocted a group of the teams wanting to trade down, and it was San Francisco, Dallas, Washington, Seattle, which is weird because they're at like 25 or something, right? So they want to get out of the first round, apparently.
Yeah.
Those are the teams looking to trade down. The Patriots, Eagles, amongst, as he wrote it on his Twitter, the teams looking to trade up.
Yeah, I think Seattle might be completely quarterback related. They want one of those guys that you and I don't think are first round picks, and they don't want to take them in the first round.
Right.
You know, the Ponders or the Daltons, one of those guys.
But from a Patriots perspective, the trade we've talked about forever, the Belichick and Shanahan getting together and moving up to 10, and taking maybe Robert Quinn. Maybe you think Patrick Peterson could be a target if they're looking to trade up.
Alden Smith. And people might be saying, well, where did that come from? Because you guys really haven't talked about trading up to take a defensive back. The more I hear from whether it's Belichick's mouth himself or other people in the Patriots saying defensive end and outside linebacker is, you know, the heavy pool of talent in the first round, I think the Patriots are going to go defensive back.
Why?
I think that in this league, I think you look at the Jets, and if you have that solid defensive back, that can cover up a lot of ills in this league.
But why don't they already have that? And his name's Devin McCourty.
Well, no, I think Devin McCourty is a step toward that direction. We all know the Jets' pass rush went down last year, yet they still had one of the best defenses in the league. That's no argument.
Right.
And I think that, you know, I think Devin McCourty came in, and we talked about this morning. Basically, if Lee Bodden had been here, he would have beaten out Lee Bodden as your number one corner. So now I think you go into 2011 and Lee Bodden's coming back, you feel I can probably upgrade that other corner position. I think, you know.
But the question is, your comparison to the Jets, fine. If McCourty is Darrell Revis, if he is an all-pro shutdown corner, which I'm not sure he is.
And he doesn't have to be that good.
But if he is.
Okay.
I think Bodden and Antonio Cromartie are kind of comparable. I think, you know, Cromartie is better theoretically on paper because he was, I believe, an all-pro. Definitely a pro bowler. Was an all-pro a couple of years ago. Had big interception numbers. I don't think Antonio Cromartie is elite. I think he's good. And I think Lee Bodden can be a good cornerback in the NFL. You know, we talked about him when he was the number one. He's a borderline number one corner. Well, a borderline number one corner, if he becomes your two, is a really good two. And I just don't see the need to trade up to get Patrick, which is aside from the fact that I'm not sure Patrick Peterson is going to be. I don't think he's Champ Bailey. I don't think he's Darrell Revis. I think the comparison for him might be Antonio Cromartie, a bigger corner who I don't think is going to be an elite shutdown corner.
And here's my fear, and this is me talking. Again, this isn't anything that I've heard from...
You or our lads?
No, me. And this isn't anything...
Because the last 2 days I've come in, first thing I see is Fred with his glasses on and our lads open on his desk reading
no,
our lads.
But
Who's this Derek Locke? What do you think of him? I've kind of been drawn to him.
He's good, by the way. I like
Kentucky
him.
Guy?
Yeah.
And the guy out of Maryland, for some reason, it's just a page of text.
But hold on. Before I get into...
Fred has jumped into
before
those
Before I
guys.
Get into guys who aren't Patriots yet, going back to Lee Bodden.
Yes.
Okay. And again, this is just my fear. It's nothing I've heard from Belichick or Nick Caserio or John Robinson, but just my fear of the track record of these defensive backs that they brought in as free agents. Very few of them have worked out. We still don't know about Lee Bodden.
Oh, I thought Lee Bodden had a solid year
played
2 years
okay.
ago.
Played okay.
Solid.
Played okay.
Solid. I didn't say it was great. Solid.
Yeah, gave him a lot of money if they don't know
They
about
did,
him.
And they've given a lot of guys a lot of money that maybe they shouldn't have, you know? So I'm, and again, we had this discussion this morning. Let's leave money out of it for a second. You know, can you upgrade that position? And if you do, how much better does that make your defense? I think it makes it a lot better.
Marginally.
No.
I think you can upgrade the position. I don't think that.
I don't think you can upgrade corner as much as you can upgrade outside linebacker. Oh. You do not have outside linebackers that are worthy of being a starter in the National Football League for any of the 32 teams. Lee Bodden could start for 20 something of the 32 teams.
Maybe.
That's the difference. You can upgrade outside linebacker at a far higher degree.
I don't think that Bodden is great. I agree with you, Fred, on that. But I think he's a serviceable starting cornerback, and he certainly would be an upgrade over, you know, Kyle Arrington and Darius Butler,
right,
who played last year. So I think that can work.
All right, we need to take care of some business here because we just installed this new phone system. And
oh,
for the first
moment.
Time ever, I see three people on hold,
whoa,
believe it or not.
So leave them there. That's what you do.
That's what you do. You got to set the
stage. No, you got to set the stage for the show. It takes a half hour.
Andy, now he can see how long they've been on hold.
Yeah, the new phone number, by the way, is 508-298-0393.
It sucks.
Wait. That's not right, is it?
Yeah.
And what's that thing on the...
Or as I say, 508-298-0393.
98.
Doesn't it say 0398 on that paper right there.
0398.
All right. Listen. Look at this. Look at... I swear.
This is on Doc.
It
is
wrong.
Idiot.
It's on
you put two different There's two different numbers listed here.
Oh, my God. I was banking he was going to look right.
You have it on.
That's left, you idiot.
I do.
You have Which it one on, is right?
Oh, my God.
9-8. Is it 0398?
9-8.
Because that's what really screws it. I was trying to make words up.
Look, because I don't know the...
I can't believe this.
I don't know the number yet.
You can't believe it? How long have you worked here? This is how everything plays out. They are morons.
No, he literally put it on five places for Fred, so he would know it.
You or Kevin?
I did it.
It's definitely Doc. Kevin wasn't even here. Well, either that or he's working 24 hours yesterday. We just never
know. No, he was here, but that actually is a number, but not the main number.
Well, I'm sure it is a number. It is seven numbers.
I can't believe that he put it on three stickers right in front of my face, and each one of them are wrong.
Nice little professional label makers.
And they make fun of me.
I think he put it on five, Freddie. What is on the other laptop there? Are those wrong, too?
Where, this?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is wrong.
Yeah, it's all wrong.
So that's five places.
I printed it off at the same time.
It's all wrong. And then I have a
question. Effing moron.
All right, so it's 508-298-0398.
Yes. That's correct.
508-298-0398 is a new phone number.
Well, I just happened to be looking at the sheet of paper as Fred was reading it to make sure that
the email is the same. Webradio@patriots.com. That doesn't change. Now I have a question. How come the guy in number one hasn't been holding on as long as the guy in number two?
The first person who called in decided he didn't want to talk to you guys, so he hung up, and then the next person called, so then somebody called back in on the first line.
Shouldn't he move up to number one?
No.
Oh, no?
No, you just go by the time.
All right.
Your number one should be whoever's been holding the line.
Come on, Freddie. I've been dying for you to do this.
The first person that we're going to talk to on this new phone system that I control,
right,
except for putting tags on the computers, which are wrong, is Marcus in Tampa, and he wants to talk about the Menkins franchise tag. Would we trade it? Marcus, can you hear me?
Hey, how you doing?
Yay!
Good job, Freddie.
Hey,
first on the new line. Congratulations. You win absolutely nothing.
All right, thank you.
So what's up?
All right, well, I was just thinking about the Logan Mankin situation. I know we tagged him, and we're not really sure if he's on board. But I believe it's we would get two first-round picks if we give him an offer sheet and, he doesn't take it and someone else signs him.
Right.
What are you thinking? Maybe Dallas or any of those teams that are in the hunt for offensive linemen?
No chance.
Would you think?
Yeah, that's a big price to pay for.
If somebody signed him, yes, you would be due two first-round picks. But if someone traded for him, they wouldn't likely give up that much.
Just one you're thinking?
Nope.
Or maybe one in the second or third round?
I don't think
you'd
go
both.
I think
you'd
be in Matt Castle land because they have to hand the guy $50 million.
Yeah. The salary would be the problem. So you're giving up a lot of money, too.
A two, maybe, and $50 million. That's their investment.
Even though he's worth a one, the salary makes it difficult. But even though the lockout is lifted, just to let everybody know, they would not be allowed to make a trade anyway. So there's still a long way to go before the league year is going to actually start. So... But it was interesting to listen to Mankins today. He clearly is still pretty miffed. He had some sarcastic comments about free agency. He said he's heard about it but hasn't gotten to experience it one of these years.
Yeah.
He hopes to but doesn't, So he certainly seems like he's still, every bit as upset about the situation as he has been all along.
Yeah, except for the point when they said, what if they draft a guard? And he said they can draft three. They still have to beat me out. Well, I thought you weren't going to be here.
Right.
You want out. You're not part of this, but you'll still beat them out. It's my job.
Yeah. All right, Marcus, you got anything else?
By the way, my cousin is actually Mark Ingram, and I'm hoping that we draft him.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Well, that's a reason
I just found out about it about a month and a half ago. My family has family in Detroit, and my dad told me that we're related to him, and I haven't met him yet, and hopefully meet him sometime this year, but I hope...
Now's a good time to get to know him.
Funny how families grow when a guy's about to make millions.
He's getting drafted.
Yeah,
where?
But, I just hope he does good. I mean, he did good in Alabama, and I just hope he might drop to us. You never know, 17, 28, we're not really sure. I think, honestly, Bill will trade out of that 17th pick because, we do have the first pick in the second day, so...
Yep. Well, I'll tell you, there's a handful of guys, maybe five guys whose names have been associated with the Patriots throughout this draft lead-up. Obviously, Quinn here and Herzlick has been another guy and Danny Watkins. But Ingram is another guy that people keep saying that the Patriots could take.
He's like Quinn in that it started
way back when. I don't even know when exactly.
But yeah,
even
like last year.
Yeah, last summer, last fall, that Quinn, that he would be a good fit for the Patriots, the Saban thing. You know, at one point it was 17. Now the speculation is maybe you can get him at 28. Maybe that'll be Bill's fallback at 28 if he doesn't like the trade offers. You know, Peter King wrote, well, then just turn in the card for Ingram and we'll take him. And Todd McShay this weekend when we did the draft party was very much on the Ingram to New England bandwagon. Yep. So, yeah, he is definitely a lot of smoke there, and he obviously tweeted that he was in the Boston area to visit. So, a lot of smoke.
All right, Marcus, thanks for calling.
All right, thank you, guys.
And call back in, you know, when you get a chance. And
congratulations
we'll talk more about your cousin.
Yeah, first right, caller on the new alone. System.
Yeah, so getting back to what you were talking about. What?
I had an – can I bring a little information to this discussion about trading up?
Sure.
I wanted to give the numbers because Paul and I spoke with someone who is very much in the know in terms of whether the trade value chart is still a reliable source, and it is. It's a useful tool. The teams use it. The numbers that everybody sees printed on the internet or in PFW are very much reliable, accurate. It hasn't changed. They don't expect it to change. So when we do these little trade things, and you know, at the combine I joke about how much you have to give up to get up to four to get Quinn or six or whatever, the numbers we're using are accurate. With that in mind, the 10th overall pick is worth 1,300 points, okay?
Yep.
Washington Redskins. The Patriots hold the 17th pick, which is 950, and the 60th pick, which is 300. So that's 1,250 points.
Very close.
Close. The 50-point difference is actually the 122nd pick, a fourth-round pick. So maybe Belichick actually makes a trade down at some point to pick up that pick or whatever, or maybe it's a pick next year to fill out the difference. But basically, you could keep 28 and 33, move up using 17 and 60 to get the 10th pick. Imagine that dream scenario. Quinn at 10, and they still have 28 and 33 to either pick or trade down or get a one
for
next year.
And that's originally the scenario that you and I started all this with back on one of our podcasts with Washington and Dallas.
Yep.
Those two teams.
Yeah,
It was holding on to 28 and 33 in that scenario. And now Adam Schefter evidently has stolen it too. So
yeah,
that's good.
So to get to, say, Dallas, it's 1350. You would do the 950 and the 300 is 1250. The 92nd pick, which Patriots have, is another 100-and-something points. You know, maybe they send a seventh back to balance out the 30 points. But very easily could get to 9 or 10 to get whomever. Robert Quinn, Alden Smith is a name that could be in that mix. A.J. Green, there were rumors, you remember, for a while that A.J. Green might be a possibility. I don't think he'll slip till 10. I don't actually think Patrick Peterson will slip till 9 or 10. I think those guys are going to come off the board. Von Miller off the board.
I don't know if it's a rumor, but there's a report out today that Justin Houston failed his drug test at the combine.
That was reported by Jay Glazier, so I consider that fact, not opinion.
All right.
When he reports it, it's usually right.
What drug?
He reported marijuana.
Oh, did he?
Marijuana.
Okay, no big deal.
No problem with that. No.
And who was the other? It's two people. It was two people. It was Houston, which is relevant to the Patriots, but there was another name.
Oh, yeah?
Shoot, who was it?
Well, we'll have to
but
get
yeah, the
strippers can
the Houston one is the relevant, because I think he's in that second tier of potential
28,
Patriots.
33 kind of area.
Right.
Absolutely.
So maybe they'll get Quinn at 10 and Houston at 28.
508-298.
33 now.
0398.
All of a sudden, we have 75 quarterbacks.
Ace Ticket Hotline, and on the line right now is John in Dallas. Hey, John.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
What's up? Second caller on the new phone number. You win absolutely nothing as well.
I was hoping to be the first, but I'll take second place.
Freddie screwed you.
Second place.
You went out of order.
First loser.
No,
sorry.
I didn't.
I know you
did.
I know you did. What's up, John?
Can we explore this Washington potential trade up, number 10?
Oh, hell yeah.
A little bit more detail here. So, for any of the guys to fall to 10, Quinn, you know, Amukamara, Fairley, Alden Smith, maybe even Julio Jones, I think it would assume that 2 to 3 QBs would have to be taken before that.
Some of those guys are going to be available. Yeah. I mean, not all of them. You're right about that.
You know, Prince will be there, Fairley will be there, Smith will be there, and Julio Jones might be there. I don't think Quinn makes it to 10. I think he actually goes.
I agree.
I'm picking right now. I think he goes to Cleveland at 6.
Yeah, that's where we had him slotted as well. But
right, I don't think he gets beyond 10 at Washington
at
anyway.
Yeah, there are some people that believe the quarterbacks, you know, there's some people believe that 3 could go in the top 10. But there's others that believe none of them are worthy, and maybe only one goes in the top 10. And that would certainly throw a little bit of a wrinkle or a wrench into the Patriots' plans.
Yeah. We want quarterbacks to go early and often.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the two things here, though. If they don't go early and often, and some of those guys I just mentioned get picked, then I think you'll have a lot more buyers at 20 and 33 for our picks, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
yeah,
actually,
yeah.
The other way around.
That's true.
But let me ask you guys a question. I want to get your thoughts on it, because I've seen somebody has a love interest in Quinn. I'm not sure if it was Paul or Andy. I'm not sure who it was.
Yeah, I'm not sure either.
Would you rather take Quinn at 10 or stay put at 17 or maybe a slight trade up to 15 and grab Ryan Kerrigan?
Quinn at 10.
You'd rather take Quinn at 10?
Yep.
Yeah, it's Andy's the one with the love affair, but I would agree with him. I think Quinn is a more dynamic player. I think Kerrigan is...
I think
Kerrigan may be okay as a solid workman-like pass rusher. He was productive. I mean, and Andy makes a good point about his pedigree at Purdue. A lot of players have made that transition from Purdue. I would not be heartbroken to wind up with Ryan Kerrigan.
Yeah.
I think he could be a good player. I think Robert Quinn's ceiling is a lot higher than Ryan Kerrigan's, though.
I think people put too much stock in Quinn, to be honest with you.
You might be right.
If you purely look at the combine numbers in terms of athletic ability, Kerrigan is actually a better athlete than Quinn is.
Oh, yeah, his numbers are all the same, but I just don't care about that.
He's got better production in college, too, over a four-year span, which Quinn only has 2 years.
You're preaching the argument I've been selling on the show for years, but I just watch the tape and say, who do I think can be a better NFL player? And the answer is Robert Quinn 100 times out of 100.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't doubt he's got dynamic pass rushing ability, right? He could probably be an excellent pass rusher in the NFL. He has the same question about him as Kerrigan, and can he make the transition outside linebacker?
Yes, that's a definite. And a big question is, can he stop the run, or is he just a pass rusher?
Fit. He might not be as dynamic as a pass rusher, but he seems to be. You know, he's a guy. I personally wouldn't trade up to 10. I wouldn't. If I trade up, I should have two spots, maybe to Miami, and see if we could grab Kerrigan there. I have more faith in Kerrigan than I do Quinn, based on what it would take to get him.
Well, I think
have more faith that Ryan
Paul.
Kerrigan will be a fine NFL player. I don't think any team will ever regret drafting Ryan Kerrigan.
And I'm with Paul. I think it would be really disappointing to find out, and we rarely do, but find out we had an option to get Quinn and we didn't do it. But if you end up with Kerrigan, I think he is that type of guy that from day one he's going to be a leader. He's going to be buying to the Patriots way. He's high, you know, he's
That's
all.
That's facts, not opinion.
Yeah, he's all those things.
The problem is, he might be 7 sacks, and in 2 years, you might see Robert Quinn with 18.
Job. Okay.
And you go, Robert Quinn's a dynamic playmaker who changes the defense. Ryan Kerrigan's a nice little player.
But you can win Super Bowls without, you know, Michael Strahan, you know, that type of sack guy. You don't have to have a guy that has 17 sacks to win Super Bowls.
I just want a guy that makes the defense
better,
honest.
Yeah.
Makes the offense honest.
Somebody they have to look
at. It's like, you know, when you brought up the point, and I agree with John, I think Ryan Kerrigan, I think he's a solid player. I'm not going to be upset at all if we get Ryan Kerrigan, Aldon Smith, Robert Quinn. I like all of those guys. I just want someone in that front seven that can, you know, that can put some pressure on the passer. So, John, if we end up with Kerrigan, I'll be happy. I'd be happy with that.
Yeah, I will be too, because it won't cost us a ton, you know? If we do make that aggressive move up to 10 and we grab like Quinn, let's say, I wouldn't take Aldon Smith at 10 either, to be honest with you.
I might
take Quinn, but I'm better at with Kerrigan at 15 through 17.
Wait, do you think it's a huge trade?
I
don't believe it's a huge trade. I mean, to me, giving up a third round pick is not a huge deal when I have
number
two.
Number 60 is a second rounder, though.
Oh yeah, second rounder. It's not a big deal to me. Yeah, you're right. It's the end of the second round. It's just not a big deal to me, especially when I still have those other two picks.
Yeah, but it's a big deal to me. I'll tell you why. Because I think we need to invest more in the offensive line than we did in past years.
Yeah. So what about 28 and 33?
Well, I think he's gonna. If he goes to 10, he's gonna probably move 28 or 33.
And that's possible.
I don't think he's going to pick there. He's got to regain pick 60 back or somewhere in that neighborhood.
Which is possible, and he could get two linemen in the second round.
Right.
Which is where they've loved taking those offensive linemen.
I hope he doesn't think that way. I hope he doesn't think that if I do this, then I have to get these picks back, and that's the reason why we won't do it. Now, if he doesn't do it because he doesn't think the value is there, I don't think Quinn or whoever is worth that, that's fine. But if he doesn't do it because I'm going from 9 picks to 8 picks. I can't do that. I don't like that. They've used enough draft picks.
Right.
Over the 12 the last 2 years, that's enough. They don't need to have 9 more this year.
Quality, not quantity.
They need to find the player they want.
All right, John in Dallas, thanks for the call. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket hotline. I hope the calls don't usurp the emails.
You control it.
No, I know.
For some reason, you changed your whole show MO and you went right to the calls right off the bat.
Well, I wanted to get the system out of my...
The little clock bothers you that they're waiting? Is that the thing now that it's visual right in your eyes?
I like seeing Doc scramble in the back because the phones are ringing now and he's all, going crazy.
He's eating his salad.
Yeah.
He's tossing a salad in there.
Question I had, it kind of goes along with, you've lost some picks and now you have to recoup them. In the talks that you've had with Belichick or Nick Caserio.
I don't know if you heard. He doesn't talk to me. Well, that's what Jonathan says.
But or from what you've heard from other GMs or coaches, right now the Patriots don't have a fourth round pick. Do they think it's important to have picks in every round, to be a player in every round?
Normally they do. Normally they call it a hole in their draft.
Right.
I don't know in this year when you have 6 in the first 3 rounds, if you really say it's a hole to not have a fourth, but normally they say it's a hole.
Yeah, they don't like the big gaps between picks. Normally they try to,
what does he say, the parade passing by and you're
waving,
whatever.
Normally they try to avoid that. I don't think it's as big a deal at that stage of the draft as it would have been earlier. For instance, if they didn't have a second round pick and they picked, 11th in the first round and then didn't go again until, 90, they don't like that. But I don't know if it's a huge deal, like Andy said, that you have 6 picks already in the books before you have that hole in your draft. I'm not sure if Bill will think that is a huge deal. Another thing that a lot of people have been writing about is right now, next year, right as of now, only 5 picks we have slated. So a lot of people figure that he'll probably do something to try to get a future pick for 2012, which, let's face it, he does that all the time anyway.
Right.
But this year would make even more sense because he doesn't want to go into a draft 2 picks down to start with. And
but that could also be once the CBA comes back and they trade some player, Brandon Merriweather, for a 4th round pick or whatever.
Absolutely.
I mean, he's done that over the years often enough to get some of those extra picks.
Absolutely.
The other thing I wanted to say was I forgot.
Oh. Well, while you're thinking, Tyler says he had an interesting dream this weekend. He says that for whatever reason, I was in the Midwest and was captured and locked in this prison with all these other people. I spent the dream planning an escape and was successful. I broke out and managed to release all of the other prisoners. As we started to escape, I noticed that almost everyone that walked by me had a Colts logo on the back of their shirt. After realizing that this prison was just out of Indianapolis and that all the people I was helping to escape were Colts fans, I quickly rounded them all up, put them back in prison. My loyalty to the Patriots runs deeper than my loyalty to my fellow man, apparently. I like it.
And well into your subconscious, apparently.
I like it. I just think it's good that people are now incorporating, Patriots in this show into their dreams. It's good. It's like the Inception show. We can go in and control your dreams at the second, third, and fourth level.
I still haven't seen that.
Me either.
Oh, you haven't seen Inception?
No.
Oh, awesome movie. Really thought-provoking movie. Excellent. I would highly recommend it.
Oh, keep in mind.
Let's see. What do we got here? Okay, let's go to...
There's going to be a lot of this I can see in the
Robert
future.
In Seattle. He wants to know if the Patriots will operate business as usual in the draft. Hey, Robert.
Hey, guys.
Thanks for calling all the way from Seattle.
Well, I usually am on the John Rook show during his time on, so it's great to be on. Thank you.
Welcome to the big leagues.
Well, I have a major gripe.
Uh-oh.
Already. I guess someone struck a nerve with me a couple of weeks ago,
Okay.
I don't think trading up is the best plan for the Patriots.
Why?
You're not alone.
Because I don't think we should trade up to try and get Julio Jones. I think we should stay with our picks or trade out of the first round to get more picks. Because next year's draft and the second round is going to be treated like a new first round, the way they're drafting.
What, you just mean the value of that 33rd pick?
Well, not only is the 33rd pick, just think of the whole second round. Teams will want to trade up.
Yeah, but the players won't be as good.
Well, I don't think this draft class is that good to begin with.
I actually agree with you on the high end. I think there's some depth, and I saw we always like to pay attention, and this always comes out at some point right before the draft. It came out this week. I believe it was Gilbrandt and somebody else said 17 and 45, not much of a difference. Those players in that group are all the same. That, you know, there's 16 really good prospects, and then it falls off after 45, but between 17 and 45, they're all interchangeable. Maybe that's why Bill wants to trade up, and I would argue that. I think so. A lot of the pass rushers, once you get past probably Kerrigan, that
right.
There's a fall-off, and there's a bunch of guys that maybe would work out, but I wouldn't feel great drafting, and I don't want to take a guy like that at 17 because he feels more like a 45th-type pick. That's why I am for trading up. It's not about Julio Jones. To me, it's about one of the pass rushers.
Yeah, I definitely don't want Julio Jones.
I think what we have is we have a good quality of backups on our team already that
need play time.
Couldn't
agree with you more.
That need play time?
We have Buddy Farnum. We have Taylor Price. And I'm sorry. I'm going to slam someone on the team. But I don't think the Brandon Tate experiment is working.
I agree.
Okay?
Why are we fixated on wide? Why are we fixated on wide receiver?
But yeah,
well, Buddy Farnum is not an NFL player.
Yeah, he's not really.
But why
are
we fixated with wide receivers?
Well, because we definitely need we lost Moss. And we did the Brandon Tate experiment all last season, right?
Yeah, and scored the most points.
Did you ever get perceived or thought that Brandon Tate was successful in replacing Moss?
No. That has been a common
theme
on this show.
Well,
what about Taylor Price? What about Julian Edelman? What about Deion Branch? What about Wes Welker? What about Aaron Hernandez? What about Rob Gronkowski? You had the best passing offense in football last year without Randy Moss.
Yeah, I think they need another wide receiver. I agree with Robert on that. I just don't think anybody wants to trade up for a wide receiver.
Yeah,
well, there were early rumors for AJ Green.
And here, this goes back to how I started the show, Robert. You ran into a team in the playoffs that could do what few teams can do against the Patriots. You know, we made fun of that whole thing, funneling them everything to the inside. Well, they did that, and the Patriots had a hard time finding a receiver open on the sidelines and to the edges. And because they don't have that type of receiver right now. And I think that's what we're all looking for. I think when we look at wide receiver, that's what bothers us as Patriots fans, you know, that the Jets could do that to us, and we didn't have an answer to that.
See, what bothered me a lot more in that game was watching Mark Sanchez picking us apart, who I don't think is a really good quarterback.
Well, that's kind of my point, is that if you upgrade the defense, you wouldn't have been worried about that as much. We all relied.
I'm tired of trying to outscore everybody in the postseason
in all our
games. I'd like to try to win 17-14 like we used to.
In 2006, Tom Brady only had a couple of tight ends that were basically the keys to the offense. But look at the no-name receiving core that basically outperformed for the season. You had Rashay Caldwell.
They were terrible.
You had all kinds of no-names basically stepping up for 2006. So it's...
Yeah, but I would take the 2010 offense over the 06 offense.
Absolutely.
Yes,
absolutely.
There's not really even much
debate. Wouldn't you, Robert? Don't you think that the 2010 offense was better than the 2006 offense?
I have another question.
I would say what made the 2010 offense was the tight ends.
They were a big part of it.
Absolutely. That was a dimension that they didn't have in 09 and in 08. That was absolutely an upgrade. And I would say that if it wasn't for those tight ends, Branch and Welker wouldn't have the success they had.
They wouldn't have been successful.
Sure, maybe, you know, Green Ellis doesn't run for 1,000 yards. Who knows? But yeah, but you have them now. They're on the team.
Right. I think running back, if Ingram's there at 17, nail him. Nail him down.
You like Ingram?
Oh, I do.
Okay.
But
you're an offensive guy, huh?
Thoroughbred like that, though. I mean,
who says he's a thoroughbred?
So, Robert, when I say that 2011 offseason should be all about making the defense better, you don't agree.
I think if we can make the defense better by subtraction, by casting off a couple of individuals that quite honestly are pretty shaky last year, I think Brandon Merriweather should be either traded away when the opportunity comes or just cut.
Okay.
I think that doesn't make the defense better. It doesn't.
That's why I'm saying at certain positions, just by getting better by subtraction is going to be a whole lot better at bringing folks up from
like
the system.
Like who do you think is going to come up and impact the defense?
Who didn't play last year on defense that you think would have made a big improvement?
Ooh.
Well, you could say Lee Bodden.
No.
That's
not what he's talking about. He's talking about young guys who didn't play.
I mean, come on. But he's an addition for this year, though.
Yeah, I want
Ty Warren.
You want to get rid of guys to make room for other guys who weren't playing, and I'm just curious as to who you thought wasn't playing that should have been.
Oh, who was it that was? There was someone else besides Lee Bodden who got injured. I can't think.
Injuries are injuries. So yes. Ty Warren didn't play the whole year, and Lee Bodden didn't play the whole year. Both of those guys are starting caliber players,
right?
And they'll help you. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah,
no doubt about that. But I thought you were talking about, like, you wanted to get Merriweather out of there to get, I don't know, Sergio Brown more time or something, or Dane Fletcher needed to get more time or something. I don't see those guys
really improving
anybody.
There was a safety that
got
hurt that didn't play. What was his name?
Brandon Merriweather?
Well, the Patriots
waiver
are going to possibly trade down is because they've been looking for quarterbacks, basically playing poker with their positions. So then other teams will trade up for 17. So other teams will trade up for 28. Because I think a second round quarterback is going to be pretty good.
Could be. It's an
even
intriguing
though that's for
draft.
The future. That's a position for the future.
All right, Robert.
Yeah.
Appreciate the call.
Oh, thank you.
Okay.
Thanks, Robert.
Do you hang up on him too?
Yeah.
I have a draft-related question.
Why'd you wait so long?
Now, what are you being like that for?
Robert had some, you know, I thought he was going to come at us
a little harder. No. What Andy hit it on the head. Robert wants offense.
He's an offensive guy.
He's an offensive guy. That's fine. I don't think it's necessarily accurate. I think that they need to improve the defense. But, I mean, we're all here to – it's a philosophy. It's whatever your opinion is. I have an overriding draft-related question. Kind of an analytical draft question that I really never understand. It's a bad draft class. Most people have told us that, right? Impartial.
On the high end it is.
Not the teams. It's overall, it's a weak draft class. Most Mayocks, Kuipers, McShays of the world that just cover the draft and aren't related with teams have said it's kind of a weak draft class. Why then, if that's the case, would you say, well, we got to move down?
Right.
Because it's a weak draft class. Well, doesn't it stand to reason that no matter how good or bad a draft class is, the better players get taken early?
But at some positions, and I agree with this, I think wide receiver is a position where there's a serious drop-off and then a bunch of guys that are very similar. And running back, a drop-off and then a bunch of guys.
Yeah, but I'm not talking about individual positions. And you're right about that. I totally agree with you.
So I think some people are saying, I don't want the 28th pick when I can pick two guys in the 60s or whatever and get two receivers or a receiver and a running back in both might
But I
be
could
good.
Get that, but are they as good as the whatever that you could have taken at 17?
I think there's some question. Some of these guys that I think are late first-round picks. Akeem Ayers, I think, stinks. I think he's a jag. And if he's a late first-round pick, then yes, I'd probably want to take Leonard Hankerson and Jordan Todman
in the 60s. But you're talking about an evaluation mistake. Again, this is like you know, when we're talking about, if you miss on these guys in the top five, it kills your team. Well, no, it doesn't kill you financially. It kills you because you missed on the guy.
No, but also some of the draft Ayers, is predicting if other people like Ayers.
But if you're right about Akeem Ayers, then no one should think that about him.
No, but that's not how it works. Everybody has opinions. And if the general consensus is 28 teams thinks Ayers is pretty good and 28 teams think Andy Dalton is worthy of a pick in the late
– So isn't there
a
greater chance –
I can move back and get my guys that aren't
that. So if it's a weak class, isn't there a greater chance that the guy you think is worthy of the 60th pick is even worse than that?
No, but
– No.
That's
my point. Because using my evaluations – Like
no,
I just
know,
gave
you're
an
using
example.
Your, but you're using
I will
your
take
evaluation.
Leonard Hankerson. In other words, I can move
and
down
Jordan
and still
Todman
get my guy
over Akeem Ayers. I don't like Akeem Ayers.
I would too, but you're using
so
examples
why wouldn't
of.
I?
But you're using examples of two guys you like against one guy you don't. Would
but
you
that
take,
other people like?
Would you take Hankerson and Todman over Robert Quinn?
No.
So why wouldn't you want to have the highest pick that you can have?
No, you're
regardless
missing out
of
on the
quality
point.
Of the class.
There's a lot of people in that group in 20 to 30. That a lot of people seem to like that I don't like.
All right, would you,
and if I can
would,
get
would
out
you
of
rather
there,
have those two guys than Muhammad Wilkerson, who's a 20 to 30 guy?
Well, or higher. I mean, some people believe he's a 10 to 15 guy now.
Whatever. I mean,
but that's my point. If you get past
if
the,
you
whatever the number is,
evaluate the talent, you're going to get hurt no matter what you do. No matter how strong the class is.
No, but you're comparing different evaluations, mine versus no,
I'm just,
another
I'm just
team's.
Trying to use logic and saying that no matter how weak the draft class is, logic would dictate that the better players get taken early.
I agree with that.
Logic would say you're going to get a better player at 17 than you will at 60. If you are doing a good job of evaluating talent.
Well, if everybody's doing a good job, if everybody else is doing a crappy job and taking players higher, then the guy at 60 might have been the guy I had rated 30. If everybody else is in love with the Akeem Ayers and the Andy Daltons and the Colin Kaepernicks and all these crappy players that apparently are going to go there.
A lot of people probably thought when the Patriots picked Devin McCourty last year, what are they doing?
No.
They're picking him too high.
No, nobody thought that.
No one thought
why are they taking a corner was the question.
Yes.
Not
no one, no one
I'm not talking Devin. About I'm talking about other teams.
No, other
no
teams,
one thought that.
He was right in that mix.
Everybody thought
the Jets were going to pick between Wilson and McCourty and
yes.
Everybody in that mix
all
thought
right.
Devin McCourty.
Let me give you another guy.
Everybody thought, what are they doing taking a cornerback?
Do you think that maybe
McCourty.
The Patriots thought that of Clay Matthews? Like they're taking him too high.
Yes.
You know, so forget about the name of the player. There are always one team that thinks another team is picking wrong because, like Andy said, their evaluations are different.
No, but my point is you need to – it's not so much one and one because nobody can know every team. Like it's the general consensus. Are there a lot of teams that like player X, who I don't like, and player Y and player Z so that I can get player that I rank higher lower because I think all these teams like these five guys – my guy gets pushed down at least five slots.
Right.
There's like a read process there.
If you think Prince Amukamara, or whatever his name is.
Close.
Amukamara.
Is better than Peterson.
Right.
And you're in the position to pick Peterson. You know other people like Peterson better. Move down. Let them take Peterson and you still get your guy.
Right.
It's all a matter of how you judge the guy.
Personal interpretation.
I don't think I'm really explaining myself. I everything you guys said, I'm fully on board with. I think I'm lockstep with you. But to me, let's just say it's the greatest draft class ever, and you think everybody thinks one guy is better than the other, but you think the other guy is better, and you know Peterson's going to get taken first. It could be the best draft class in the history of the world. If I evaluated this guy who I think isn't consensus to be thought of to be better, yeah, I'd want to trade down then, too. I don't understand what the strength of the class has to do with your philosophy.
I don't think you're right there, Paul.
I
think you're right. I think that
you're always working in
There's a hierarchy.
Yes.
You're right.
There's a hierarchy to the talent.
You're absolutely right. That philosophy goes no matter whether it's a deep draft class.
I've heard a lot of people say it's a bad class. Let's trade down.
Right.
I don't get that.
I agree with
that. If it's a good class and you want to evaluate, you should trade down, too.
But I don't think people are saying it's a bad class in terms of overall talent. I think they may be saying it's a bad class in terms of high-end.
The high-end talent. But Paul's point is right. It really comes down to how you evaluate the board, regardless if it's a deep draft or a very talented draft.
And I agree with Andy. I agree everything what you said. And I'm with you. I'm lockstep with you. If you think you can evaluate and you know that Akeem Ayers is thought of way more highly than you think of him, that's an advantage.
And
if you don't like the player,
enough of those guys,
I absolutely am with you on that. I'm absolutely with you. I'm not sure that the overall strength of the class. If I thought that there was 60 good players in this draft as opposed to last year when I only thought there was 30, I'm not sure that I should be necessarily
changing
my draft philosophy.
Philosophy thing. I would always go up. My general would be, if there's 16 good players, I want at least one of the first 16 picks. Not, there's only 16 players, so I might as well have five picks in the 70s.
All right. I don't want to.
You just can't put a screen in front of Fred. He just gets all distracted.
I don't want to
clicking,
look. I don't want to keep him hanging on anymore because I know it's his day off. Eric Scalavino is on the phone. Hey, Eric, how you doing?
Hey, Freddie, what's going on?
Nothing. We're just talking draft here, and I know you had a big morning. At the Matt Light, Peter King, what do they call it, lockout breakfast?
The lockout breakfast, yeah.
Eric, you did a great job today, and I already told Fred I told you to not come in, so don't let him bully you around.
Line your ass off.
There you go.
I did.
So what's up, Eric?
The big news from there, I thought, Freddie, was Vince Wilfork thinking about retiring. Logan Mankins wants to be a free agent. Other than that, nothing really happened.
Now, because I read your tweets, and when...
Yeah.
You know, Wilfork was asked twice about that. You said even in the second one, he looked more serious than he was kidding. But you think he was just being a little dramatic?
Well, I was trying to read in that, and I was standing face to face with Vince, so I got to see and hear him perfectly clearly. It's not like I was way in the back or anything. And, you know, when you first mentioned it, I thought, oh, he's just kind of joking. Then he kept talking about it, and he grew more and more serious. And, you know, he was saying, depending on how long this thing lasts, you know, if you lose a season, I'm already going into my eighth year, and I got to, you know, I've had all this time in the off season to be with my kids and with my big ranch down in Florida, and, you know, I'm still healthy. So, and then somebody pressed him on that again a couple of questions later, and he was not joking at all. He was saying, yeah, you know, it makes you think. It makes you wonder. It makes you wonder. He said it twice. So, yeah, and I think you have to consider that he did get a huge signing bonus just last year, so it's not like he'd be losing out on a whole lot of money if he decided to do it.
Well, he'd have to pay
that
some of that
said,
back.
I don't think
he'd have to pay that back.
Yeah, he doesn't get to keep the signing bonus
right.
if he doesn't play out the contract.
That's the first thing I thought of when I heard that. If I'm Robert Kraft, I'm like, hey.
Yeah.
You know?
And he would say more than hey, he would call his lawyer and say, you say hey officially and get me my money back.
Yeah. But he would still, I mean, he still has made enough money where it's not like he's suffering.
And he's frugal.
Decided to do it.
He and the missus are quite frugal.
Well, that's a good point, too. But that all said, I don't think it's really a serious option for him. It was just kind of odd that he brought it up and wasn't really joking about it. I just thought that was interesting. I mean, he did talk about, you know, let's hopefully get this thing done soon enough so we can all get back to work. And that was kind of the consensus among all the players who talked to us.
Okay.
Mankins was kind of funny, too, because he, he was asked about whether or not he would report to Gillette today, and he said, well, I would if I were under contract, which was different than what some of the other players were saying, which was, no, I'm going to avoid this until it's all said and done. Then in the next breath, he's talking about, hey, you know, there's this thing called free agency, and I'd like to experience it sometime. And then somebody asked him about, you know, New England possibly drafting offensive linemen or guards in particular, and he said they can draft three of them if they want. They still have to beat me out, so he's talking like he's still
right.
part of the team.
Right.
So there's a lot of talking out of both sides of their mouths today.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, they're in the same boat that we are. They don't know what's going on. Neither do we. I mean, this is in the hands of lawyers in the courts right now, which is the one thing we all wanted to avoid. And, mm-hmm. you know, they're in limbo, just like us.
Mm-hmm. Well, the timing of it, though, couldn't have made the event more relevant. And I think that sort of helped light's cause. I think there were a lot more media there than maybe
right.
would have been.
Right.
If the ruling hadn't come down, there were a lot more like newsy types there than just the regular beat
right.
people.
Right.
So
not a lot of people there in general, though, huh? Would you say a couple of dozen?
I'd say. Yeah. There was probably a room full of maybe 10 to 12 of those circular tables like you see at a wedding, and there were, you know, 8 to 10 people at each table. Not all the tables were full either. And there was quite a big media contingent. So it was probably, I'd say it was probably 4 attendees for every one media person.
You know, and even though these guys are on the other side of the fence right now, we still want to support the Light Foundation. So I think it's thelightfoundation.com. And Vince mm-hmm. Wilfork has his event going on Thursday night at Pins.
Mm-hmm.
Where is that, in Medford? Where's Pins?
I believe it is.
It's down here, isn't it?
Oh, it's down this way?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. I forget. P-I-N-Z.
I thought it was like, I shouldn't even speculate.
Yeah.
It is Pins, P-I-N-Z.
But Vince has his event going on Thursday night for diabetes, so, you know, we want to support those two things, and you can go and just Google Vince Wilfork, and you'll find out that, and you can buy tickets of that, as well as the draft party here. I understand there's a few tickets available for the draft party here at Gillette Stadium, and with all the picks that the Patriots have, that'll be a pretty good shindig. Going on. Eric, what else you got? We got a lot of people on hold here, Eric. We just got this new phone system.
Yeah, we took some time out to talk to you. Evidently, Fred's having a heart attack.
We literally don't have an open line. Careful what you wish for, but now everybody's calling, which is great.
And emailers are going to start to complain that you don't read emails because it's all calls.
I swear to God, this is no lie. I clicked the email, you know, to refresh it, and 53 emails have just come in the last 5 minutes.
Well, get moving. Bye, Eric. We don't have time for you. See ya. Have a good day off.
Okay.
Enjoy the driveway.
All right, Eric.
Thank you, Eric. Great
calling in.
Great stuff. Great stuff.
Great.
I thought it was great today.
Stripper.
Everything that everybody else had, he had first.
Oh, yeah. We didn't need the call-in.
Strippers writes in, Mickey Loomis, who's the GM over at the Saints, was on Sirius Radio. He says, we like Mark Ingram a lot. He's the highest rated running back on our board. If he falls to 24, he'll be in consideration for us. That means they're definitely not taking him. I mean, why would you say you're going to take a guy?
He didn't say he was going to take him. He said he's definitely in consideration.
Right.
I'm sure he feels the same way about Marcel Darius if he falls to 24.
Right. Or A.J. Green or Robert Quinn or anybody. I mean, they're...
Earlier, a little odd
that he said he was the number one running back on his board. That's not typical GM speak.
But I also think that's pretty much the consensus from everyone except PFW.
Earlier, we were talking about wide receivers with Robert in Seattle, and John writes in, he goes, why are we fixated on wide receiver? Branch is at the end and don't know if he will make it through a full year. Welker is coming close to the end of his contract. Price is unproven. Tate's not the answer. The answer to me is not another rookie wide receiver, but perhaps grab a free agent wide receiver when free agency opens up. The money we could save on Kazier, Light, Bannekane could put us in play for a free agent wide receiver. Would like to see who we could grab maybe with a trade or free agency.
Imagine with that money, you can get anybody you want because that's if like just, $12 million a year.
Imagine if you just like cut Tully and you'd really not have a... I mean, he at least has played in the NFL.
Has sacks.
Sorry.
It's a fact.
It's all right.
But no, I understand the need for supplementing the wide receiver position.
They need wide receivers, absolutely.
But they don't.
No, they do.
Even if Branch and Welker retired tomorrow, don't tell me that Gronkowski, Hernandez, Edelman, Taylor Price isn't competitive with Doug Gabriel and Rishe Caldwell.
And Jabbar Gaffney.
No, I know, and they added him, and they would add a veteran. I'm just saying, even if those two guys retired, I think it's better, personally. I think that group of Tom Brady would be better.
Wait a minute. Say it again. Forget the tight ends.
Welker and Branch retire.
You
don't forget the tight ends.
No. Because
one of the tight ends is a slot receiver.
I'm comparing wide receiver to wide receiver.
Price, I'm not then.
Price. Who else? Price, Edelman.
Price, Edelman.
And Tate?
I didn't really say Tate, but he would still be here, I guess.
As compared to Caldwell and Gaffney.
Well, but you're not playing with my rules. You're playing with your rules.
Well, no, but you're eliminating Ben Watson, who caught... So 1 year he caught the ball that year.
He caught
50 passes.
But he still sucked. They threw him 150 to get the 50.
I don't think that core is better than
I think it's better.
The 2006
I think even
group.
If the two best guys retire, you're still better than you were in 2006. And you would add a veteran. You would go sign somebody.
And I think the 2006 group was awful, by the way.
I do, too.
I just don't think that there's anything proven out of that group that you could say.
Oh, I do. I think the two tight ends are above average NFL receivers.
The tight ends are proven, but those wide receivers aren't.
I think Edelman's competitive.
He's competitive, but he's not proven. He's not a proven commodity.
I think he's Rishe Caldwell.
Wow.
Okay.
He caught like 5 passes last year. And talk about how many thrown to him. He had like 15 thrown to him.
I think Rishe Caldwell was the epitome of, he's the guy we got to throw to, so we're going to throw to him, and he caught him.
I don't think Caldwell was good. You know
and
that.
I think Julian
you know
Edelman,
that I don't think
if he were the guy you threw to, would catch him.
I think Julian Edelman
would have 50
will
or
catch,
60
will,
passes.
I think he will catch probably more than that when Welker's gone. I think he'll catch 80 or 90.
I don't know about that.
I just think that's that position. That's what what happens.
Eleanor writes in.
Eleanor.
And she says, Fred, Andy, and Paul, did you read Manish Mehta's story about the Jets draft room in the New York Daily News? I'm curious as to how different you think the Patriots process is. For example, Mehta writes, Tannenbaum asks every prospect he meets the same question. Tell me something good you've done for someone else in the last 7 days. Is there anything more nauseating? And P.S., I love the Patriots pregame show idea. Can you make sure Eric has somewhere else to be, like an art class or a ditch? Wow.
Yeah, Eric won't be a part of it.
I did not see that
He'll
story.
He'll be a part. He'll call in.
No formal artistic
I thought, we had talked about you being the one who called in.
Okay, sorry.
That's important.
No, I figured both of us would.
Yeah, I thought you would.
No, okay. I mean, we only have so much time.
I want to know what's going on at the stadium.
508-298-0398 is the phone number, and Brad in Baltimore is on it. Hey, Brad.
Hey, guys. Long time no talk.
What's up, Brad?
We sold the house. Haven't finished moving yet, though.
Oh, okay. So is your stuff still in the house?
No. It's in storage.
It's in a pod?
Yeah, we're in an apartment trying to get the boss to accept the fact that I want to relocate. So
Should have done that before you moved.
Well, really, when we said what's up, it was just kind of rhetorical. But yeah. Okay.
Okay. All right, Paul. All right.
I'm just kidding.
And you were the only one that used to like me.
I do like you. That's why I said it.
I have a question for you guys, and I admit in the last couple months I haven't been able to tune in much from work and moving and all that fun stuff. At some point, I feel Belichick is going to use all his picks. And when he does, I think that's a signal that he's within 5 years of leaving.
See, you brought it back strong right there, Brad.
I knew that's where he was going with that. No, that's funny.
I knew he was going that was going to be the end, but I didn't know within 5 years of the end.
5 years in the NFL is like an eternity.
Yeah.
Right, but if you draft, let's say this year, what have we got? 6 picks in the top 100, right?
Right.
So if he picks all 6 players, what's he coming out and saying? He's saying,
I'm loading up.
He liked 6 players in the top 100?
I'm loading up, according to your theory. I'm going to play along.
Because he hasn't done it in the 12 years that he's drafted. He has traded and traded. I mean, he is the king of trades. And if all of a sudden you watch and it's pick 17 and the Patriots pick, pick 28 and the Patriots pick, pick 33 and the Patriots pick, and everybody now is saying this isn't the greatest draft in the world?
But didn't they have a draft like 4 or 5 years ago where that happened? And he actually acknowledged it. He said it just worked out where there was nothing to do. They only made like 5 or 6 picks and they didn't make like any trades. Maybe 05.
I know they had a draft like in 02 or 03. 02, I think, with only 6 picks, but I don't remember if there were trades.
I was pretty sure there was a draft where he didn't draft a ton of people, he didn't make a ton of trades, and he acknowledged it afterward. It's just, you know, nothing worked out. We had a bunch of calls, and it just didn't.
I think, you know, we've said it before, you can't paint him in a corner. It just depends on how the draft board works out and how the stuff before them works out. I don't think they go in there thinking, we're definitely trading down. They go.
No.
They don't do that.
No.
You know.
No, I think they offer. I think he evaluates. You know, what have I got at 22? If you know, say they're drafting at 22, and if I can get a second rounder now and a second rounder next year, is this guy at 22 going to be better than those two guys?
Well, yeah. I mean, they do with that kind of evaluation, sure.
And I kind of have to agree. I wouldn't. And I know I've beaten this horse to death. I wouldn't mind seeing Tully gone. I think I'd rather have Ninkovich and Cunningham or Cunningham and whoever we're drafting than another stand up at the line and get run over. And
well, but Tully was, I mean, by the end of last year, you kind of had Cunningham and Ninkovich, and Tully was the rotational sub-rusher
guy. If and when he got in.
So I'll keep Tully around for that purposes. I just don't want Tully starting 16 games.
And that's right. That's
we learned
point.
Last year he wasn't going to.
But I'd rather have the money to go after a different free agent.
Well, that ship has sailed to some degree. I mean, they gave him a $6 million bonus.
I know.
That was a bad contract.
Yeah.
That really bothers Brad.
We kind of knew it at the time.
What is Kazier's status? Because I think that hinges a lot on where we start looking at offensive linemen being drafted.
Well, I don't think you can pencil him in. I mean, coming off back surgery that cost him the entire year, I don't think you can just assume he's fine.
But in the middle of a back surgery, they gave him a 3-year extension?
No, that was before.
Yeah.
Well,
that,
it was in
that wasn't
camp.
Last year.
No, that was the year before.
It was? Oh, yeah. Okay.
But you're right. He's a potential capped casualty. But I don't think you can, count on him either way. I just back injuries. You know, Paul was of the fear that Vollmer and Gronkowski that back injuries. Yeah, they can
about,
be great forever
I worry about
until
back
they're not.
Injuries. Yeah.
And Paul has had a back injury.
Well, I did have a bad back when
I
was young.
Well, I look at
it's
that.
Amazing
because
you don't know now with that gut hanging off the front.
To me.
Brad laughed.
I did. That was good.
It wasn't that good.
To me, I would love to see us move up. I mean, the last time we moved up was Mayo. And
no,
I think
down.
That's working
we
out.
Moved
Sorry,
down
we
Mayo.
Moved down for Mayo.
They
were
at
7.
Oh, 7. And they moved to 10.
You're right.
Mayo. Twice, right?
Mayo.
Then we moved to 9 and then 10.
They moved up for Ty Warren, and they moved up for Daniel Graham.
Yeah. Well,
in the first round. I mean, they've moved up other. They moved up for
Chad
Jackson.
They moved up for Chad Jackson.
They moved up for Matt Light, too, I think, in the second round. I don't want to paint it out that every time they moved up, it hasn't worked out.
No.
The two times in the first round they moved up, you could argue weren't home runs.
You got average starters.
You got good. Right. You got good players, but nothing special for moving.
I don't think. I don't think. And we all say it's a system, and guys are plugged into this system. And you know, for some reason, Darius Butler didn't make it. And I'm not saying he's not going to, but he didn't make it the way McCourty made it. I think if we're going to move up, the only reason we're going to move up is to target, you know, if he's got one guy and that one guy slips two or three spots. I think otherwise the attitude is, you guys have bantered about the last few weeks. You've got Kerrigan, you've got all these, you know, three or four, both all off outside linebacker types that you're all saying, I'll be happy if we get any of them.
Yeah, but he doesn't have them as closely grouped as we do, I'm sure.
We think of them all as kind of the same, but I'm sure that Bill doesn't.
Right.
There's probably only one of those guys that Bill thinks is worth taking.
Quinning!
Now, who knows who that is?
And is that enough to move up? And I would say yes. I think looking at the football team, McCourty played as well as he did last year. We didn't have Bodden. We struggled a little bit with the Arrington being our designated pass rusher for a few weeks there, but if we can get more, I mean, pressure's the key. You look back over the years when we had McGinnis storming, the defensive backs weren't Hall of Famers, but nobody was thinking about them either. When you had Andre Tippett, same thing.
All right,
that's true, Brad. That's
okay,
a good point,
Brad.
To Fred.
Thanks, Brad.
I would have left Brad on, but I got a call on the cell phone. His wife was saying he's supposed to be helping us move, and he's on the phone with you guys.
I'm a little bit good, Brad. I'm
going
to lean a little more on Fred's side here. Ty Law, pretty good. Rodney Harrison, pretty good.
Yeah, but how many times did you say you could get by with all these other guys? They would plug guys in. Now you have better guys and can't get by because you have less than zero pass rush up front.
No,
all
I'm,
right.
I'm just talking about the characterization of we didn't have Hall of Famers back then. I think we did.
We've gone
no,
an hour.
You also had Jags. You also had a lot of games where you played absolute Jags, Tyrone Poole, and you made him look decent.
But the backbone of that secondary was not Jags.
We've gone an hour. We're going to take a break.
Certain times, those guys were hurt
during the break.
And you had
we'll be
Jags.
Right back.
Your attention, please. PFW in progress has a new number. Change your speed dial to 508-298-0398.
He's the model of speed and precision, a machine that picks apart defenses. This is Wes Welker, part of a last-minute drive to the end zone. He's constantly on the move, and he moves fast. You're just as fast. Introducing Verizon 4G LTE, the fastest, most advanced 4G network in America. With it, you can download a song from VCast Rhapsody faster than the average play can develop. Upload your favorite photo in 6 seconds. Share 10 photos in a minute. Stream video like you're watching an instant replay through a window. It's that smooth, that fast, and it's the only 4G network that can compete with Wes Welker.
Yeah, let's go again.
To learn more about Verizon 4G, visit your local Verizon store for a live demo or visit VerizonWireless.com/4GLTE. Rule the air. Verizon. Coverage details at VerizonWireless.com.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Bruce! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go Pats!
Indeed, go Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Rock the Plaza every Saturday and Sunday, to the Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday, to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
You asked.
How come the only time you give out the phone number is the time when people can't call it?
And we listened.
They can't call. That line's busy.
Why do you have to tell everybody there's only one line?
The phone line has been upgraded to four lines. Call us at 508-298-0398.
All right, back here in PFW in progress. I don't know if people have said that the draft is less interest in the draft. Certainly not on this show. We are buzzing here. Emails coming in. Phone calls coming in.
I'm just pumped I did my job. We successfully avoided lockout talk.
And as far away as Belgrade, Serbia, Russ writes in with a would you rather.
Brooklyn Decker.
Brooks Reed or Justin Houston?
Brooks Reed.
Really?
Justin Houston.
So Teddy Bruschi has swayed
he
you?
He swayed me a little bit. I really like Brooks Reed on tape. I like what Bruschi has to say about him. I just think he's going to take a little while to be ready for this system. And I don't know that he has a huge upside, but Justin Houston is a druggie now.
Muhammad Wilkerson or Cameron Jordan?
Muhammad Wilkerson.
Wilkerson and Houston or Quinn?
Houston and Wilkerson.
Or Quinn?
Quinn. But that's a tough one. Because I think
I like Wilkerson
has a huge upside. Huge.
Oh, see, now he gets silly. Brooklyn. Quinn, Wilkerson, Peterson, Houston, and two additional 2012 first-round picks or Tom Brady.
Brady.
Robert Quinn in a number one overall in 2012 and 13, or Tom Brady?
I don't know.
I think that's kind of Brady.
Here's a better one. Pats wide receivers or Packers wide receivers?
Packers. Now, that does not include tight ends, although they have a decent tight end.
No, wide receivers.
Packers.
Yeah.
DeMarcus Ware or Mayo and McCourty?
DeMarcus Ware or Mayo and McCourty.
Ooh, that's a good one.
That's a really good one.
Mayo.
I'm going to take Mayo and McCourty.
Mayo.
Me too, but.
Ware is the best. Obviously, you're going one for two. Right. Ware is the best player of those three, but that's two holes you got to fill now.
But I just think if you got a secondary ball.
That's what I'm saying.
Stinks.
Yeah, I got a pass rusher stinks. Now. But
how about Bart Scott and Revis or Mayo and McCourty?
I'd take Bart Scott.
Mayo. See, I can't do that.
Well, I mean,
I just can't.
I'm asked to answer objectively. That one's
that's
different.
A tough one too, because I think Bart Scott is done.
I don't think Bart Scott is as good as Mayo, but Revis is to me the best.
He is the best. That's a tough one too. These are good.
Brady on the Pats goes 14-2 with his one and done in the playoffs, or Sanchez on the Pats goes 9-7 and wins the Super Bowl.
I'll take the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I would have. Feel that there was a good reason for them to put Sanchez on the team. And
you don't hate Sanchez, though, anyway.
No, I don't hate Sanchez.
You don't. I've never really heard you say anything really, really bad.
Even when he was
with a 17-year-old, you really didn't have the venom for that.
I thought he was one of the better quarterback in that draft. You know, so so far he hasn't proven me right.
He's good. He's not great.
Yes, he has.
He's okay.
He's gone to the AFC title game in his first two seasons.
He's good.
Look, I give the credit on that team to the defense.
Sure.
Okay.
That's where it should
be. He does nothing?
He doesn't do anything to help them.
We have seen plenty of quarterbacks lose games for teams,
absolutely.
Get in the way of good defenses, not be able to just play along.
I've seen him lose games.
But they've gone to the AFC title game for 2 years.
When he's bad, he's really bad, and he costs your team the game.
Right.
When he's good, he's Brady-like in 01.
I'll go to
he makes timely plays when he's good that help you win the game, just like Brady did in 01.
I'll go to Russ's last one. The Patriots lose to the Jets, who win the Super Bowl in the AFC Championship, or Andy must tongue wash Eric's feet, I'm throwing up, in front of Brooklyn Decker, who's obviously disgusted, register as a sex offender in Provincetown and goes bald, but we draft Robert Quinn, trade for Mendenhall, James Sanders emerges as an Ed Reed-style pro bowler, and we win the Super Bowl 3 years in a row.
Nope, sorry.
I'll take it.
That's a big personal hit there.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right, let's see. Let's
Can you get Brooklyn Decker out of that equation? I'm in.
Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Brian from Peabody's on the line. Hey, Brian.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
What's up, Brian?
Well, a lot of times I've been listening to ESPN and obviously being inundated with everyone's view of the draft and the Patriots because we have two picks. They keep doing something that I think is really stupid. They keep either saying that we're going to either trade up or we're going to trade down. They don't really look at the past and go, we're going to do both, which is 28 and 33, gone. First-round pick next year, maybe even two first-round picks next year, considering we only have five draft picks next year as a total. What I think they're going to end up doing, though, is package 17 and possibly the Randy Moss pick in the third round and move up to either 4 or 6 or 4 and 5 because the Bengals and Cardinals, they want out of there. So they'll trade it for that to pick up the extra pick, and we can get someone like Patrick Peterson and picture him across from McCourty, have Bodden either traded or put him on the bench, and look at how nasty that would be.
That would be way past the trade value chart.
There is
though.
No way that they're taking 17 and a third to get up to 4 or 5. I don't care how dumb the Bengals are.
But that's Freddie's trade-up scenario is Patrick Peterson.
What about our second pick in the second round? Do you think they would possibly do that to move up, move down about 10 picks? Because think about how much was given up to move up to the fifth pick to get Sanchez. It was a bunch of scrubby players and a pick that was further down in the first.
But so gave 17 and 60 get you... Not even to 10.
Right, you need a little more to get to 10.
Well, I really don't think moving to 10 is going to do much. I think that's kind of more of a waste than anything. If they move up to 10, I don't care who they grab. There's no one there that's making me go,
No. They're only going to do it if the player is there. And they may have, maybe they have deals with all these teams. Maybe they have a Bengals, they have a Niners, they have a Cowboys, they have a Washington for either the same player or different players. Maybe they have two. Maybe they like Peterson, and they might want to go up to 5 or 6 to get him. Maybe they like Quinn, but they'd only go up to 9 to get him. They're not going quite as high.
Right.
They're not doing it if no one falls.
Exactly. You do this when the guy that you really think is of that value happens to be there.
Right.
And the trade is made, right before the round.
Well, no, I understand that. I know they're going to do it at that time, and they're going to have things set up. But when they do these trades, I'm really hoping that they hold out and they try and wait till maybe 4 or 5, have something set up with either Cincinnati or the Cardinals. Because Cincinnati does not want anybody there. They've made it as crystal clear as anybody that they want to get Dalton. They want him at the end of the first.
But
so, I see what you're saying. I understand. He's fixated on Cincinnati, and he's. I understand what his point is. He thinks that Cincinnati is so desperate to get out of there, maybe you can kind of hoodwink them on a trade. Let's face it. It's not unprecedented. Cincinnati has a lot of dumb things.
But that would be unprecedented.
Well, not for as little as he suggested, but maybe you wouldn't have to give up the full value of that chart to get up that high.
And there's probably other teams that would give him even more.
We have the most ammunition. I just hope they don't blow it because that 33rd overall pick is gold.
Yeah, but I think you'd be blowing it by trying to absolutely steal it from them rather than just giving them a slightly below market value deal. Because if you try to steal it.
What do you think would be a good deal to try and get up to like number 4? Would you say the 17th pick, maybe the Randy Moss pick, and add maybe, another 5th or maybe a future, a 3rd rounder?
No, I think you have to be higher. I mean, I think you have to give up 1st, 2nd round picks to move up that, not just a 1st and...
Because you got
to
keep in mind, next year we're also going to end up trading the guy who's holding out. I can't think of his name, but he's going to net us the first round pick because he's one of the best offensive guards in the game.
Mankins,
you're not going to get a 1 for Mankins, in my opinion.
I really do because you think about it. Even with free agency, he would be the number one. He'd be the number one offensive guard, and they need people like him. Look at the Cowboys.
Yeah, but in free agency, the team wouldn't have to trade a pick for him. They would just have to sign him for $50 million. It's the same thing we talked about for Matt Cassel. You think he's a franchise quarterback. That's great. But you only got a 2 because you had to then give him a contract. You had to, A, pay him the franchise tag money, and then,
forget,
B, give him a $50 million extension.
And it was Cassel and Mike Vrabel.
The Broncos and other teams are willing to give much better. but they said, oh, we'll hook up Pioli.
I'm not sure I buy that.
I always
there's
felt
no
that way
that that's
all.
There's no way that's true.
Said they were willing to give more, but you know, Belichick pulled the trigger because he had that waiting on the salary cap.
That's a myth. That's an absolute myth. There's no way he gave less to
right.
take care of Scott
Mr.
Pioli.
Value suddenly cast value aside and just did a fave.
No. Well, it all ended up for the best anyway.
All right, Brian, you're in Peabody. You know Paul Perillo?
Unfortunately.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
All right, Brian, thanks for the call. It's Brian at Peabody. Sam in Chicago writes in. She says, hello, boys, and Eric listening at home.
He's not listening.
I hate to say it, but if Ingram isn't there at 17, we'll be trading down and out. Bill will deal 17 for a higher 2012 first-rounder. Does make me wonder how the last playoff game against the Jets would have fared with Seymour going after Sanchez. Bill will make do with later round picks and watch for a Merriweather replacement. Thanks, and looking forward to Thursday.
Yeah, I don't think he would just trade it for a one next year. I don't think that would be considered
value.
I
would put it out. You know, one thing we
17? No. I think the 38 pick, I mean, I'm sorry.
28?
The 33 pick is a pick that, reeks of first-rounder next
right.
year.
And while we're talking about the draft show, we should remind people that on Thursday, we won't have our noontime show. We will start live PFW Progress at 8 o'clock.
Yay, you got it right.
With the start of the first round, and we'll broadcast throughout the first round, whenever that ends.
Eight.
And so we'll be with you all Thursday night. Friday, we'll start at 6. We'll go to 8. No, 9. How late are we going until on Thursday, on Friday?
9.
6 to 9 on Friday and 2 to 4 on Saturday. So
he couldn't make it. I thought he was going to make it through all three and get it actually correct. And
I'll remind people.
Who's going to remind
you? On Thursday.
And you can listen to B-Lo tomorrow inside the draft room.
Why would you want to? Does he have a guest?
Yes, he does.
Who?
I don't remember. I have to look.
Scintillating show. B-Lo and somebody you don't remember.
Let's see.
See, that's where you need to cut those out, and that'll what? Save a little time. We can do more calls, more emails if you don't say, let's see, a lot of emails. It's put a lot of pressure on you. I'm not going to lie. You have a tougher job now.
Well, there's a lot going on here.
Exactly. You're not reading emails or taking calls.
508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Mikey V.
Premium.
Is on the line. Hey, Mike.
Premium quality. Here I am live, guys. How are you?
Good.
What's up?
All right. Here's what I got for you. This year, I think, is going to be the year that we trade up. I think this year, everyone is going to be fighting to trade up as much as they possibly can. There's no free agency, so teams need to fill their needs. People are going to be, it's going to be scratching, it's going to be crawling. I'm going to be there live to witness it all in New York City.
Nice.
So pumped. So I think this is the year that we trade up for a defensive playmaker and get our DN or D lineman that we need to put pass rushing.
Mikey, you're going to be in Radio City watching
absolutely.
The draft? You got to have a sign that says PFW in progress to hold up.
You want me to, really?
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. For you guys, I will bring it live.
Nice. You got to get that sign.
You should send him a T-shirt, too, Fred.
Oh, we'll send you. Yeah, get off the air. Give Jason your home address so we can send you a T-shirt.
Sweet. Don't put it in the dryer. It shrinks.
Sweet.
All right.
So what do you guys think of this Peter King saying that we're going to trade up and get Julio Jones? Would you accept?
Yeah, I don't like it.
I don't either.
I don't like it either.
I don't like it either.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't. If we're going to trade up for a receiver, I want A.J. Green. I think Julio Jones is injury-prone, and I don't think he's a game-changer to the degree that Green is.
And didn't he have his shirt off during the combine?
He's got Lawrence Maroney-like hair, and he wears them in those little pigtails
that
I don't care for.
Yeah.
But, you know, that aside, he does come from the Saban system. I could see Belichick loving the way he plays because he's a very physical receiver, blocks, goes across the middle, which is partially why he gets injuries a lot, is because he does play such a physical style. I'd be scared he'd get hurt, and I don't think he has the upside that would, you know, be good value trading up into the top 10 to take him. I also have my concerns about Mikey's little theory. I don't know if he's gone. Did you let him go?
No, Mike's still there.
The one problem with your little theory is if everybody's trying to trade up, then Bill won't trade up because that's not a buyer's market. That becomes a seller's market, and he won't be able to get good value. That would concern me. I want to be one of the couple teams.
I think the more tangible pick would probably be 33. I think he's going to try to trade out of that.
Well, that's the one. That's the one that's worth the most for the position that it's in.
Theoretically.
Yeah.
Last year they just picked, right? Who had it? Somebody had it last year. They didn't deal it last year.
Everyone thought there was going to be a lot of movement, and they ended up just...
They said they didn't get as many calls as they expected, and they just picked. Who was it? Who picked first? Oh, St. Louis, right?
Was it St. Louis?
And they just took like a lineman or something. Roger Saffer guy?
Yeah.
At Indiana?
I forget.
I don't know why I'm asking you. You'd have no idea.
No. I don't even Saffer think I was on the air at that point. I was probably off somewhere.
You were dropping F-bombs on the air somewhere.
Right. All right, Mike.
All right,
Mikey.
All right.
Don't forget your sign.
Yep.
All right, you got it, guys.
And give Jason your address.
Right, so you can get a T-shirt. And the sign is supposed to say, Andy Hart, PFW in Progress Rules.
PF from Pally.
Did you hang up on him?
Wrightson, yeah, I did.
Well, how is he going to talk to him?
Oh, call back.
I put a note on the screen that says, click the hold button on Mikey when you're done with him, not drop.
Oh, I'm supposed to read that stuff? There's a lot going on here. Pierre Wrightson from Pally.
I'm going to back up Fred here. There's a lot going on over there. For the first time in that role, I think he's handling it all right.
Which is why I said he might want to come down early this morning and just, you know, have a dry run.
And he gave you.
Yeah.
Pierre writes in, I'm not going to talk about the end of the lockout because I don't really understand what this means to the upcoming season, but your idea for a pregame show is a great one.
Nice.
Unfortunately, as you mentioned, I will miss many games because of the time difference and the late games for the Patriots. For example, I'll miss the Colts game, but nevertheless, great idea.
Who's this?
Pierre. I'll listen to everyone before early games, and I commend whoever had the idea. It must
Andy.
Have been Andy.
Yes! Brilliant!
That's not accurate, but that's okay.
No, that is accurate. If we can say I'm the one with a 6-10 record, then we can say this was my idea for this show.
Okay.
Fair trade.
Point taken. See, I'm not that stubborn. Point taken.
By the way, do you receive any emails from anyone else from France? We do, actually. No. If so, it would be cool if we could try to organize something for game day.
Just a two-person get-together.
Thanks, guys, for the entertainment during the off-season and lockout period. And please make sure to publish the results of the first round Thursday night, as it will be 2 a.m. in Paris when it starts. We will on Patriots.com. But, you know,
I just thought we weren't going to update the site.
Yeah, Pierre makes a good point about the pregame show. The whole idea is to bring people together.
Right.
And so what we want people to do is coordinate with the official fan club registry on Patriots.com. Pierre should go there right now, see if there already is a Paris fan club. I think there is. There's one in France.
Betty.
And connect with that person and get more people at a local bar or whatever. And before you know it, you know, you got a big thing going on before every game.
We'll be hooking marriages up in love because, you know, it'll be like 2 a.m. there. So,
after
midnight.
Nothing we could do about the time difference.
Well, there were about 100 people that signed up, but half of them were afraid to show up. They're all French.
Ah.
They all had hairy armpits.
And that's just the women.
Adam Schefter is tweeting via strippers that players have asked Judge Nelson to force NFL owners to start the league year. Judge ordered owners to respond by 5 o'clock. Well, that's interesting. The other person who failed the drug test at the combine was
Ballard.
Christian Ballard, right.
Iowa.
Oh, he sent it to you?
Yeah. The other defensive end out of Iowa who I'm not really all that interested in. I like the good defensive end out of Iowa. Adrian Claiborne. Who entertained me this morning with
Raymond.
A tweet of, getting on my airplane, who's going to be the lucky person that sits next to the 6'3", 280-pound guy?
James Pettigrew, the most interesting Patriots fan in the world, writes in, hey, ladies.
Thanks for lunch.
Just around the corner, and I'm very excited. I understand the pass rush obsession, but have a slight worry about the O-line. We are all aware what impact Logan's return made on the offense last year. Do you think it's a lock that we get someone in the first two rounds? Failing that, are there any good free agents? Failing that, what happens if Logan and Matt Light move on and we haven't drafted anyone? Please tell me this is not a realistic scenario.
It is not.
The team's chances really start and end with Brady, and I thought the loss to the Jets was more due to his uncharacteristically uncomfortable pocket presence as opposed to a lack of pass rush. P.S., how do you feel about webcasting the draft show? Donkey's out.
Donkey's out?
We are webcasting the draft show.
No,
I think he means...
Video.
Monte Video.
Video casting it.
Yeah.
It's really boring.
It is.
Yeah.
We've been there. We know it's boring.
It's not like we're sitting in a room with a bunch of stuff going on. We're literally in a broadcast booth with nothing else going on.
And no room.
There's a lot of stress, so I could get
just
a big zit on my forehead or something.
I think they just want to see me when I turn all red and tell someone to go F themselves.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I want to see that.
That would be big on YouTube because they would cut and put it on there and all the followers would love it, you getting all angry. Because you do get red when you get angry. Or when you do push-ups.
That's because I was yelling while I was doing push-ups.
Because you're getting your ass whooped.
Let's see. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. And Connor from Seattle, another Seattle caller. Hey, Connor.
Hey, what's up?
Did I wake you up?
A little bit. I was just kind of reading more up on some of the issues I'm having with all these like top people from NFL.com, ESPN, all saying that Patriots are looking at drafting Mark Ingram, number 28, on their with the 28th pick. And I can't think of anything less, anything more what we could do. Like, what, like, we have two running backs that together, like, 1,600 yards, and averaging Ben Jarvis was like 4-something, and Danny Woodhead was like 5'5". But, why would, although, nothing against Mark Ingram, but does he fit the style of offense the Patriots have?
Oh, I think he's a richer man's Ben Jarvis Green Ellis. I think he's, sure, he doesn't fumble. He's low to the ground. He breaks a little bit of tackles, falls forward, and he has a little bit more big play ability. I mean, I think in terms of what you're looking for, there's a reason to like Mark Ingram. I don't know if the value's there. I don't know if he's a huge upgrade from Ben Jarvis Green Ellis in the production. I don't know if you go from 1,000 to 2,000 just because it's Mark Ingram. Nothing else changes.
And they
same
were,
holes.
And to back up the point, they were very productive running the ball last year from a statistical standpoint. Mm-hmm. Hard to imagine that they would be that much more productive.
Right. And what we've talked about, or I should say, it's not necessarily just the production, okay? You know, you could go to 1,200 yards.
Situational.
It's the, do they fear the running game? Does it alter how they cover tight ends, how they deal with the passing offense? Or is it
what
simply...
What are you making those linebackers
you continually
to?
Just rush out of riding the coattails of Tom Brady in the passing offense. To me, that's what this offensive ground game has been for the last few years. You're just riding the coattails of the passing game.
Are those linebackers safe in lining up in the slot to knock the receivers around if they want to do that? The Jets did a lot of that.
I mean,
and Fred's funneling everything to the middle. Well, a lot of that was linebackers out in the slot knocking Welker and those guys into the middle of the field. Now, if you have, you know, last year, for example, if you had Fred Taylor in his prime, he's probably going to make you pay for that at some point during the game. Benny didn't.
I'm just, if I'm a linebacker and I see a play action fake to Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, I'm going with the pass.
Yeah.
And then I'll recover and maybe he gets his 5 yards, but he's not scaring me into getting 15, 20, 25, 30.
Well, that's the argument for the people who want Mark Ingram or want a running back. That's the argument for it.
Right.
And it's not a dumb one. I don't think that Ingram gives you enough of an upgrade to warrant picking him over improving that defense.
But I'm also not sold, you know, you said whatever it is, 1,500 or I'm not sold that two former undrafted was Woodhead drafted by the Jets? No, he's undrafted, right?
Undrafted.
Two former undrafted free agents are
gonna duplicate
proven
that
you know, that's what they are. That, you know, Woodhead's gonna be your change of pace guy, 5.6 yards, rushes, touchdowns, and that Woodhead is that Green Ellis is just gonna not fumble and he's a 1,000-yard guy, because sure, that's good enough if you get that exact same production. Well, what if you don't?
Right.
What if the book is out and they're not as
good? You can make the case that Woodhead took people by surprise.
Right. And you need some running backs because right now.
And if they get hurt, you're screwed.
Yeah, right now, if you lose one of those guys.
Thomas Clayton.
You know, you don't have anybody that has really much experience.
And, you know, again, we go back to the Jets and they do have one of the better defenses in the league. But when it came to that playoff game, Woodhead almost seemed to be the only option and he was limited.
They stopped that running game with three people in the box, basically.
Now, that may just have been they had a good day, or it may have been they were better suited. That, you know, they were prepared more.
Prepared.
They had more tape on Woodhead and said, oh, okay.
Right.
And I think that might happen. I mean, this is not a negative thing, but I think that might happen a little bit to this offense in general if it stands pat.
Well, and we've said before that in the NFL, pretty much any defense, if they go all out, balls to the wall to stop one thing, they can do it.
Right.
You know, you have to be multiple as an offense to keep defenses off balance. You can't just be one-dimensional in this league. So, all right, Connor, thanks for the call. Connor from Seattle.
This has been a joy to watch you kind of learn the system on the fly.
What?
I don't know. You're just making me laugh.
Now you're making him mad. Stop.
I'm not.
LT from Adelaide. Usually people have people helping them with all this stuff.
No, they don't.
Handing them emails.
Michael Felger
good.
Does it all himself.
Well, the email's different.
Well, yeah, they don't really read emails.
They have like one segment where they read some emails. Right. He's doing both at the
same
time.
But they do texts more
often. I have 71 emails in the queue right now.
Yeah, and usually.
So read some instead of telling me how many.
But I have to see which one are, you know.
How many calls you got? Are the line open? Maybe you should get the number out.
I have a few lines open right now. LT from Adelaide writes in, with the draft in a few days' time, I thought I'd pose a question to see your collective takes on this, mainly Andy, because it has to do with his little binky. Would you rather pick a 3-4 defensive end stud, a 3-4 end who is guaranteed to be as good as Richard Seymour as that 5 technique, or would you rather draft Robert Quinn? Well, if you're going to get somebody as good as Richard Seymour, that's
I wouldn't
you get
him.
That
I'd
person.
Take Quinn.
I don't know.
I just want to read this.
It's another upgrade thing, Fred. How much
I'm
can
I'm not
I upgrade?
Done with the email, but go ahead.
Okay, this is something that Doc just handed me off of Twitter that
in
Mike Reese
font.
Posted from Rich Cimini. And he says, Rex Ryan says Welker apologized to him at the Pro Bowl, him and his wife at the Pro Bowl in Hawaii for making the foot jokes. Isn't that old?
No.
Didn't Ryan already said that they have a great relationship? And
no.
I'm pretty sure I wrote it in First Down like 2 issues ago.
I never read that Welker apologized to him. And his wife?
I'll look back. I don't know about his wife, but yeah. I'll look back. I'm pretty sure Ryan said this before.
Okay.
But
that's being a jackass.
Anyway, the text reads, Rex Ryan says Wes Welker apologized to him and wife at Pro Bowl in Hawaii for making foot jokes in run-up to Jets Pats playoff game.
Really beautiful.
That's
geez.
From Rich Cimini, who okay. works for ESPNNewYork.com.
All right. LT also says, watching ESPN Boston with the draft special where there was Mike Reese, Teddy Bruschi, Todd McShay, and Andy Hart.
Andy Hall.
I must say that I was
go
disappointed with Mr. Hart.
Oh, go screw yourself.
It seems like he just sat there absolutely feeling out of his depth. So I just want to ask Andy whether or not the few film clips on ESPN Boston reflected his real input in that event.
Well, I don't know, Fred. You were there. You tell.
Having said that, seeing Big Head and Big Gut on NFL Network kind of does dispel some of the bad memories of Eric in New Orleans with the big sunglasses
thanks.
Wearing a too small shirt. Keep up the great work, guys. I'll be up all night on Thursday because Fred said that's when PFW starts. Oh, wait. The draft starts Friday morning in Australia. No, I was there in person, and I don't know what they've been showing on ESPN Boston so far. I'm sure they're accentuating their guys, but Andy was as much in it as they were. In fact, had a couple zingers with Teddy Bruschi. Teddy Bruschi, they were asking, when does the Patriots season start for real? And, you know, the consensus was, well, you know, it's all about the playoffs, and Teddy said the playoffs. And Andy, what did you say?
What did I say?
the whole one game at a time.
Andy was like,
nonsense.
Oh, now it's all playoffs. But when you're with the team, it was one game at the time. What happened to the regular season? We're already – and he started talking real fast. And then Michael Smith got, you know.
And no, and Bruschi actually then broke into, you know, it's one game at a time. We're all just trying to get better a little bit each week and do our jobs. And he broke into, like,
right.
player speak.
Cliche,
right?
Teddy.
Yeah. And then you know, Andy was kind of put on the spot because they did a little fact or fiction thing with the – people in the crowd, everyone had a sign. On one side it said fact and the other side fiction.
Fiction.
Michael
fiction,
Smith from
fiction,
ESPN
fiction.
Would throw out a question
wow.
and people would have to show what they think it is, fact or fiction. So the question was, should the rookies that are drafted or prospects show up to the draft in New York and be there?
Fiction,
and everybody
fiction,
in the audience said fact. They should be there. And Andy said fact. And the only person really on the stage that said fiction was Teddy Bruschi. So Michael Smith picked out Andy of the other three and said, you know, why do you say fact they should be? And Andy, you mentioned all the reasons why, and Teddy, you know, came back at
Teddy
you.
Laid the hammer down.
Well, he got into I'm a player rep type mode.
Yeah, you know,
I'm a union man.
And I kind of disagreed, you know, it could cause problems with the veterans. I really don't think the veterans say it's all about business when it's about their contract and about their business. So why isn't it just about business for the rookies, too?
Oh, but it could cause problems with the veterans.
I don't think anymore.
Teddy Bruschi was once one of those veterans who would have caused a problem.
In this day and age?
I
yes.
think that,
oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Really?
I think that would reflect poorly upon veterans, if that's
I agree.
The case.
I
and
agree.
I'm with Andy on
but
this one.
That doesn't mean it's not going to happen.
No, I think it could. I think it would really reflect poorly on them because I think that they're not looking at it from an objective standpoint.
But one thing that Bruce
doesn't mean you're not in support of the
right.
being a player and being in the union and all
right.
that stuff doesn't mean that.
One thing that Bruschi did say that kind of resonated and I think kind of swayed you was you said that, you know, this is the day that all these guys have trained for, prepared for all their lives to be on that stage in New York and get drafted. And Bruschi said, if this is the day they're preparing for, then they're preparing for the wrong day.
Right.
They should be preparing
I
for winning championships.
I didn't really believe that. Rob Gronkowski.
Well, you should have said something.
Rob Gronkowski celebrated as much as anyone and then went out and had the best rookie year of any tight end ever. So did he, like, not try because, ooh, I made it? You know, that sounds like a guy who thought he should have been a first-round pick and ended up a third-round pick and was disappointed he never got the opportunity.
Something else you should have said at
really
the
fast
event.
There right there.
I need to one of my pet peeves, Paul, has been brought back.
Yeah.
Last night, the ruling comes out and the tweets start and everybody. And I see him on the TV screen now for NFL Network. Jason Lockenfora tweets once again. What is that noise?
That was him.
It's
doing
a tweet.
Something.
Oh. Jason Lockenfora tweets once again in uncharted waters.
Oh, God.
Oh, so there's a, not a professional boat to take you out to these waters? Or is it uncharted? There's right. a chart to tell you how to get through the water.
He gets really mad at that one.
I've heard it so many times.
Oh, that's terrible.
By relatively intelligent, I'm not including him necessarily in that mix, but relatively intelligent people use uncharted.
And unintelligent relatives have done it.
Okay.
I can barely say that.
You should be focusing on the next call right now or the next email.
Ivan from Roseville, California. Man,
oh, wait. I got another thing.
What?
God, he's out of control.
I wore jeans just so I'd have energy today. Another tweet from Rich Cimini. Yes, it's a tweet. It was retweeted by the lovely Judy Batista. Rex Ryan's Play Like You Mean It. He's doing a book thing, I think.
Yes, yeah, there was an excerpt in Sports Illustrated last week.
On Golston, quote, I didn't like the kid coming out of college.
Oh.
Thought he was a phony. I thought they just descended before our eyes.
Just Ryan? Dropped.
Yeah. He now says he didn't like him coming out of college.
Yeah,
he was
but
a phony.
Don't forget, he wasn't there when they.
No, I know, but he was
he
excited
might not have
because his testicles dropped last
well,
year.
Because he made
and
one
they,
play
he
at
grew
practice.
Up and he was the guy.
Oh, they made such a big deal.
I'll
about
tell you
that.
Who's yes. a phony. Rex Ryan.
Yeah.
Excuse me, ma'am. Can I help you with anything?
Phony teeth, phony.
Why
teeth.
Do you need to say that now? I thought he was a phony.
Oh, I agree with that. It's he shouldn't say that because it's inappropriate.
Ivan from Roseville, California.
I don't doubt the validity.
What
of
did he have?
Statement.
Ugly feet, Rex. So you didn't like him at the combine?
Man, oh man, I haven't emailed in months.
Now that's being a jackass.
I haven't emailed in months and months.
What are you saying, Fred?
But I have been keeping up. School's been horrible, but I have 1 month left. I say screw the final stretch and let's listen to PFW in progress.
Woo!
I still have to bring up my English grade because I'm in big danger of failing. It's horrible and I suck at writing essays.
English is overrated.
The only time I have ever came close to an A was on an essay is when I wrote about football. Thank
Who's
you very
from?
Much, Fred, for the knowledgeable information. And no, Andy, I do not want your help. No, screw you, Andy. The only thing I want from Andy is proof that he can do at least one legitimate push-up. Anyway,
push up with your mom on me.
Oh. Anyway, my teacher has now banned
Typical
me from
Andy
writing
Hart.
Any essay related to football or even mentioning football. Also, my teacher says quoting PFW in progress in my essay is not a legitimate source and cannot be supported in an essay. I was going to go ninja on her, but then again, she's my teacher. Oh, well, let's hope for a great draft on Thursday and a step closer to a CBA. Keep up the fantastic work, and I want to buy you guys lunch one day. Just let me know how.
Doc, put that in. And who was that?
That was Ivan from Roseville, California. We haven't heard from him
Good
in a
job,
while.
Good job, Ivan.
You don't need English out there. Not even the official language.
508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Justin in Texas is on the line. He wants to know, what are the chances of drafting Andy Dalton or McElroy? From
That's exactly right. How are you boys doing this afternoon?
What's up? Doing good, Justin.
Oh, hell, I tell you what, just down here enjoying this beautiful Texas weather.
Woo!
Yeah, I wanted to know about old Andy Dalton out of TCU or McElroy out of South Lake, Texas for Alabama Crimson Tide. Do you think they'd be there probably the second round maybe?
Well,
Dalton is up and Brady's getting pretty old nowadays.
Dalton's a guy that is all over the place. Some people think the Dolphins might like him as high as 15. Others aren't as high on him. I'm not as high on him. I don't love his game in general, but he certainly won a lot of games and put up good numbers. I think the more likely Patriot would be McElroy as a later fifth-round pick or what have you as a backup quarterback. And Paul and I have discussed, we actually just think that's what he is, a backup quarterback. He's never going to develop into a starter in the NFL, but he could be a very good understudy, comes from a pro-style offense, has studied Brady. He's talked about it, the Saban connection, all that. So I think McElroy could end up a Patriot, and I think Andy Dalton's going to be one of those guys that gets overdrafted and, you know, Chad Henne type that people will be trying to replace in 2 years because they realized Andy Dalton wasn't that good when they drafted him.
All right, I hear you. Well, hey, you boys
Not
take care.
Okay,
and,
Justin.
Look forward to the draft on Thursday. Y'all be good now.
Okay.
Good stuff,
Love
Justin.
It.
Justin from Texas.
My second favorite voice on the radio.
I like that. He holds on for 35 minutes, and then it's short and sweet. He doesn't care.
Why is Jerry Jones doing a live press conference?
Oh, they're having bowling in
Oh, I saw that.
Pre-draft.
The women's PBA or whatever.
Women's Florio Open. Made me laugh out
US
loud.
U.S. Women's Open.
Midfield, it's it, with temporary seating, and he runs around and says, uh-oh.
And then I guess the record, they
he's
had
like
it
7,000.
They had it at Joe Louis Arena, and there was 7,000 people.
This place seats 100,000 people.
But can you imagine, like, 7,000 people went to bowl?
Scott, I'd like to go to one of those once.
Oh, please.
You're kidding me.
No,
oh,
they play that up now. The Rob Van Dam guy, and they get all crazy.
Yeah, but
like,
so what?
They've
it's
kind
still
of brought,
just
like wrestling.
Rolling a ball down a lane. I mean, what happened, you know?
How is it any different than any other sport? Which is just throwing a ball and catching it, or throwing a ball and hitting it, or slapping a puck into a hole.
But you know, like,
it's what all sports are. They involve a ball, a stick, some other stick, something.
I'd rather go to a bowling match than a soccer game.
Oh, me too.
Say
bowling
that.
Would be far more interesting with Rob Van Dam or whatever the guy's name
no,
is.
No, at least in soccer, there's contact
there's
with another player. There's another player trying to stop you from doing what you're doing.
There's no excitement or scoring.
Well, there isn't for the unintelligent.
There you go.
That's what they always say.
There you go. That's the...
All I know is around here how you score is kick the ball straight up and somehow they just let it come down right in the goal. No one catches it.
The only refrain of the soccer aficionado. You just don't understand.
Scott in Des Moines writes in, never miss a show. By the way, the wrestling commentary last month was awesome to listen to. Being a former collegiate wrestler, I can tell you women love cauliflower ear. There is a consensus that this draft class is pretty weak. The Patriots have a few needs to fill and only 5 picks in next year's draft. My opinion is to move up from 17 to get the best high-end pass rusher available, Quinn Kerrigan or Smith. Seeing how a lot of guys in the draft are of similar grade after the first 17 picks, I would move the 28 and 33 picks to get picks in next year's draft and later picks in this draft to get guys of similar quality. No matter what happens in the draft, fans will still piss and moan about the picks Bill makes. However, it is pretty clear he has a good eye for talent and fit, and Bill I trust. So he's saying move up and get one of the guys, but then package 28 and 33. The problem is, to move up, you're probably going to be giving up.
No.
33?
17 and 60.
60? We'll get you to 10. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, if you
17,
want to go higher,
60,
you
and
yeah.
probably something ish. Else lower.
Okay. But I'm well, if they trade up and get a pass rusher, yeah, they can do whatever the hell they want with the rest of them.
That'll be the equivalent of Rashad Mendenhall going off the board at that point of the draft for Andy.
But in a good way.
They've traded up to get Quinn, and Andy checks out for the remainder of the weekend.
But in a good way. I will be pumped and jacked.
Oh, it won't be that good of a way if you leave me all by myself.
I'll
with
be working
him.
On my Quinning covers and figuring out, is he going to wear 42? Is he allowed to wear 42? Jarvis Green Ellis, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't think he'd be allowed to.
I'd peel it right off his back and hand it to Quinn.
Conrad in L.A.
There are some linebackers. If there's no 50s or 90s available, right?
It probably would be, though. Maybe he would go...
No, you want Quinn to be...
56.
Well, can't wear 56.
What if the big guy lets him?
Tip? I don't know.
Pulls a Ray Bork.
Conrad in L.A. says, hey, ladies, Fred and Andy. Wow. I would have called you all ladies, but Fred and Andy solidified themselves as the men in the push-up competition. I'm a first-time emailer, long-time listener, and I had some quick draft discussion. We all agree that outside linebacker is a huge need for this team, that we need a pass rush, but I think you guys are underselling how bad our defensive line play is, specifically end. The Packers and Steelers have had
that's
dominant...
a need.
What's that?
That's a need.
Well, but I'm assuming health is a factor here. Like, I'm kind of assuming
Tywan
and Ron Brace are in the mix.
It got
ugly when they all got hurt and they were signing guys off the street to play.
The Packers and Steelers have had dominant defensive play the last year. In addition to high-caliber outside linebackers, their defensive front played well. For example, B.J. Raji and Cullen Jenkins were huge for the Packers. Now I'm not suggesting we focus on defensive end as our main need, but hypothetically, if Smith, Kerrigan, Quinn are off the board at 17, I really hope Bill doesn't reach for an inferior outside linebacker prospect like Reed and walks away from 17 with a defensive end such as Wilkerson, Watt, or Jordan, or maybe even an offensive tackle. Your thoughts, and whoever is writing this Ken Walter stuff has a direct line to my humor. It's great.
I'm all for that's
yeah,
fine. I don't
I'm
want him to
you.
Reach for Brooks Reed or Justin yep. Houston at 17. Take the better player. I like some of those guys.
I like the email all around. I would just say one thing is if Bill were to pick an outside linebacker in that regard, if Smith, Kerrigan, Quinn, you know, Von Miller, obviously, those are the guys that we think are best. If he picks one, that's the guy that Bill thought was – Bill would think that guy is better
right.
than Robert Quinn or you know,
right.
He wouldn't pick the fifth, sixth best guy
just
on a list
because.
Just because he feels like he needs it.
Marv
he wouldn't
Levy
do that.
Style.
Yeah, like the Dante Whitner thing.
Let's see. Jim from Eastern Michigan University.
Our calls have really petered out now.
One just dropped off.
Oh, yep. Come on, people.
I was going to take him, but, you know, I can't just keep
you
doing it.
Listen, you got to show loyalty to the emailers.
It's worth
too.
Waiting That's for, right. though. I mean, sit on hold and listen to the show, and then we'll get to you.
The emailers need to be taken
trust
care
me,
of.
We got tons of emails.
But I like calls, too.
Jim in Eastern Michigan. Hey, guys, and Too Light Andy. I have a game for you if you're up for
it. What does that mean?
It's called Rank the Prospects. I have
Rank
five
the prospects.
I have five prospects
Quinn.
Who the Patriots have been linked to be interested in at 17. Rank these players from the one, the better prospect, to five, the worst prospect for the Patriots.
See so what you did there?
Here are the five. You got Alden Smith, Ryan Kerrigan, J.J. Watt, Anthony Costanzo, and Mark Ingram. So Alden Smith,
one,
Ryan Kerrigan,
two,
J.J.
Two,
Watt,
three,
Anthony Costanzo, and Mark Ingram.
Four, five.
Yeah. The only thing
in
I
that
might,
order.
The only thing I might flip-flop would be Costanzo and Watt.
Okay.
I might go.
Not me.
Smith, Kerrigan, Costanzo, Watt, Ingram.
Did you hear Brian Baldinger talking about Costanzo today?
No.
Baldinger's on NFL Network, Freddie.
Yeah.
And he was saying how he thought he was a very overrated prospect. Has a lot of experience, a lot of starting experience, but not physically strong enough. Believes that he will really, really get worked over athletically by a lot of the better outside edge guys.
Well, most people project him as a right tackle.
Yeah.
So
yep.
That'll kind of ease some of that.
He wasn't very high on Costanzo.
Good for Brian.
Which Bradley. I hadn't really heard a lot of negativity around that guy.
No, he seems to be thought of as a pretty solid prospect. Maybe not elite, but solid.
Safe.
Yeah.
All right, so on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, I see that Carlos in Cleveland is back. Hey, Carlos.
How you doing?
Good. Good. You sound mad. I didn't mean to. I didn't cut you off. You hung up.
No, I'm not mad.
Oh, okay. All right.
He's not mad. He's just going to get even.
I actually have a question. I was wondering, would the Patriots draft Mark Ingram or not? Because, like, I've been, like, watching, like, NFL Network and different things and going online. And they were saying, like, if Mark Ingram's there, probably, like, in the second round, they'll take him.
Oh, I think in the second round they would take him. I think at 28 they would consider him. I don't think they would take him at 17, which was the early speculation.
Right.
Okay.
But, yeah, I think
they probably like
a safe running back pick. They probably have a very comfortable assessment of him based on the Saban situation and that relationship and the offense he comes from and all that.
Yeah.
The only thing that we're down on here kind of as a collective group is we're not sure he's elite, that he's going to be a 1,500, 1,600-yard perennial Pro Bowl type player. That's our only.
Yeah, yeah. I think he probably won't, but in the long run, he probably will work his way into that.
Yeah, you don't have to be – I mean – Curtis Martin was never really that. He was all, you know,
no,
he had
never,
years where
he
led the league,
really
but
bad. They just gave him the ball a lot. They just wore him down.
And I think
he was the only running back.
And the one thing with Ingram is if you have the injury concern with the knee, or
yeah.
if you think he could get worn down or whatever. But the thing that I'm worried about, not worried about, but I'm looking ahead at Trent Richardson. I'm already just falling in love with him. Every time I read anything about him, watching him play, I think he's the more dynamic athlete.
Yeah.
For Alabama, and then I read his offseason. He just finished his offseason strength testing, and
yeah,
he's considered one of the strongest players in college football at any position. Based
yeah,
on
he was actually stronger than Mark Ingram. He was his bench press was I think like 450 pounds.
Yeah, he squatted, he benched, he runs a faster 40. I'm intrigued by him. I'd like to see him be the pick next year.
Okay,
all right,
Carlos, thanks for calling. Appreciate
no
it.
Problem.
Let's see.
Give Fred's two screens and he gets confused.
No. I thought this was going to be better than. See, I got all these emails here. Well, there's a little breaking news. Derek from University of Arizona writes in. He says players attorney Jim Quinn said in an interview today he would expect free agency to open within 24 hours or he would have collusion concerns. And that's according to Mark Maskey of the Washington Post.
When news breaks, we break it. Patriots.com radio.
Well, you know, we haven't talked about this whole lockout at all lifting. But, you know, right now they're waiting for Nelson to come up with a ruling. if she rules that the lockout is still lifted, you know, obviously the league is appealing to the appellate court or whatever that is, but there's this gap there between now and then. So what happens? Do they start saying, okay, the league year starts? You know, the league, understandably, doesn't want to start it and then stop it again. You know, that would be worse than,
right,
you know, not starting it at all. So I don't know. It's really screwed up right now.
It is.
You know?
But, I mean, can you imagine it could happen Thursday? Like,
but,
in a worst-case scenario, you could have, like, free agency open on Thursday, draft day, out of nowhere.
No team wants that.
And, yeah.
That's just ridiculous.
But
that would be chaos.
But if you strike, maybe you can get.
Well, that's the thing. You know, you're in the middle of the first round, and all of a sudden Dan Snyder is signed, you know, and
right,
all of a sudden all hell breaks loose, you know.
Or a smart Bill Belichick signs somebody quickly because he wants them and he doesn't want to have to deal with others and everybody else is worrying about the draft. And
right.
It could be a circus. I mean, it will be a circus. I'll be overwhelmed. I won't know what the hell is going on.
Yep.
Talking about if they decide to start the league year
like Thursday
now.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, like that 10 a.m. deadline tomorrow,
just, yeah,
supposedly.
It's just, yeah. In a side note, are you guys interested in the Bill Parcells Draft Confidential or whatever show that ESPN is doing tonight?
I'm interested that he's doing it,
but
I'm not going to waste any time watching
it.
Just help Fred out.
I've seen some snippets, and yeah, it is pretty interesting.
So I'll have to tape it because the Bruins are on.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of with Fred, only not, you know, as arrogantly. It's not something I'm going to go out of my way to watch. But
oh, I will.
If I had seen it, I probably would find it interesting. Because
well,
I think he's
interesting.
I
didn't know that.
Well, he was quoted today as saying that, you know, when he was, you know, in the league, you'd get information from scouts who like to gossip. You know, so they pressed him on that. And he said, you know, it could be your own scouts in conversations they have with others, or, you know, but he said these guys are, people are human. They love to talk.
Right. It's like, I mean, that's the way the world works.
You know, and when you get,
how many times do you see that? You have guys that know things and they can't wait to tell someone that they
right,
know it.
Right.
You know,
it's one of my homeboys.
Let's see. Greeting from the Netherlands, says Rick. I haven't had the time
Rick,
to listen to
you
guys for
it?
The last few weeks, so I'm catching up now. The best week of the year, I say, birthday tomorrow in my results of business exams, Thursday the draft, which I would say don't lower your standards, so trade all drafts you think are unworthy for this year's draft. I don't know what you're saying.
I love when he reads them like that.
I'm just going to.
Well, he's in business school, not English school.
Yeah, I'm going to go.
All of the drafts.
I'm moving over to the other screen, to the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398. And Greg from the billing department's on the line. Hey, Greg.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
Hey, good. Up. How's those billing?
Those invoices going well?
Oh, today, this is vacation. I'm in a chilly 98 degrees right now. So
where?
Florida, South Florida. I'm in Deerfield Beach.
Wow, and you took the time to call us.
Oh, absolutely. You guys are awesome. I listen to you nonstop. I just wasn't listening live because I'm really doing nothing right now. It's fantastic.
Can you see anyone in a bikini from where you're sitting?
My girlfriend, actually, yes.
And what size are her breasts?
Oh, hey, now.
Now see, why do you have to do that?
I like your boobs.
Listen, Andy, yes. I'll send you guys an email. Let me know. Shoot me an email. Let me know what the email is. I'll show you an email.
Okay.
Web radio at
yes,
patriots.com.
Yes, webradiopatriots.com. I want to see your girlfriend's tatas.
My God.
Sounds good. I'll get that over to you ASAP.
Thank you.
So, with what happened yesterday, if she finalizes it or says that the lockout should still be lifted, does that mean players can get traded for draft picks?
Theoretically, if they start the new league year, yes, they'd be able to trade
and
players.
And that's what
and
we were just
picks.
Talking about. If they don't, then I would imagine there'll be another lawsuit about collusion, because there'd be no reason why the teams wouldn't start the league year. But there has to be some preparation for that. Under what rules?
Yeah, right.
So those rules have to be decided upon. So there's probably legitimate reasons why the owners would be able to delay the start of the league year until after the draft.
See, but that's the thing, too. Wasn't the whole – listen, when they couldn't agree on a CBA, the owner's course of action was to lock out the players. But let's just say they didn't lock them out. They still haven't agreed on a CBA, right?
Right.
So how can you – you can't really conduct business as usual.
No, but
well, they would impose last year's rules or 2 years
ago's
rules.
That's what they would do.
You know,
rules.
So it's just a mess.
It is a mess.
Oh, it's going to be a mess.
You just
no matter
said,
what.
Paul, that was the reason why I was asking that question. That was because I was saying the CBA still wouldn't be signed, so they would just reform back to last year's CBA.
Right. And, yeah. And
that's what everybody assumes. But
and there's speculation that it wouldn't even be fair to the players because
it's not.
Teams would hold back without colluding. Forget about colluding.
Players wouldn't be happy with that.
Yeah, teams would hold back because you don't
want... guys right. that aren't free agents.
Right.
They don't, I mean, they're operating the same. This is not going to be the CBA anymore.
Right.
This is
right.
what we're fighting for. It can't work that way.
Debacle.
This is why the people that say, and when Robert Kraft said, we need to get the lawyers out of here, this is... These are things that they're not taking into consideration.
Right.
It's not all about black and white precedent and
right.
in the way the legal judicial system has been built.
And I don't even know how this works, but assuming that they do start the league year, doesn't the union have to recertify somehow? Don't they have to go through the paperwork of becoming a union again?
No. They're all individual contracts.
Well, that's even more chaos.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Because... all those rules are out the window.
That's right.
Now an agent can say, you're paying me 10% of that contract because there's no regulation on
right.
agents. You don't need an agent technically, but
right.
I mean, it's going to be wild, wild west.
And believe me, the CBA, everyone thinks, oh, the CBA is just good for the owners. There's a lot of stuff in the CBA that are good for the players
right.
that they're now, they don't have.
Right. 12%, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, they could get taken to.
Absolutely. Yeah. So it's just. No.
But it could happen.
Yep.
Well, I just a couple of more things. No questions, anything like that. Andy, you definitely won the push-up contest. I'm sorry, Fred, but...
Well, how do you know? Were you here, Greg?
Listen.
You pencil
it's
pusher, you.
It's possible for people to do more than one push-up per second.
Thank you, Greg.
It's possible, I'm telling you.
It's definitely possible the way he was doing
it. If you're in shape, you can do real push-ups exactly. more than one a second.
It's definitely possible you're doing the way he
but
was
guys
doing.
Like Paul and Fred don't understand that.
I have never said that you didn't do the push-ups. I couldn't see.
But it was a great episode.
Thank you.
All I did was I counted Fred's push-ups, and he was doing them impeccably
and
well.
Eric counted mine. And you know he is anal. And you know,
Eric
and
has never done a push-up. He doesn't know what a push-up is.
He's your combine buddy.
They hate each other, so he wouldn't give him credit.
Exactly.
Yeah, see, that hate is so overrated.
Oh, not on my end it isn't. Lubricants.
All right, Greg.
Thanks for the call.
Thanks, Greg.
And, thank you very much. I'll be listening to you on draft day. What are the hours, Fred?
if you're there for the first round on Thursday night, we'll be on.
All right.
Send that photo of your girlfriend.
Okay. Greg from the billing department.
Webradio@patriots.com.
Hang up on people.
Greg from the billing department in Florida with his bikini-clad girlfriend.
Hot girlfriend.
And boy, evidently they're going to make a determination of whether or not she should be wearing. Said bikini.
That's always the awkward part.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if she's hot, then yeah, there's nothing awkward about it.
No, because you have no problem with being creepy.
Yeah, but I do have a problem with being mean, and I won't be.
There's nothing better than being on vacation in a hotel room with your lady.
This is the second time in a week he's mentioned
real
hotel
creepy.
Room sex. Nothing better than it. You're in a room with a bed and a woman. There's nothing else to do.
That's what the 1,000 guests before him
right,
said.
With thousands
too.
Of other people have already done.
We need to play some Al Green now.
On that duvet that's got more sperm than Clinton's dress or whatever all over it.
Oh, no. Come on.
Yes. Disgusting.
Let's see.
You know, not that I haven't done the hotel sex thing, but...
Got a quick email in here. Scott writes in, the Patriots could trade number 17 to Washington. Who would take Locker? Who would take a Locker? Oh, okay. This is what he's saying. The Patriots could trade number 17 to Washington. Who would take a Locker? The number 28 to a club like Tennessee who may take Ponder.
Oh, he would take B Locker.
Who we would reportedly get their 39th pick plus the number one next year and then again at number 33. There is also an outside shot of trading that Tennessee pick at number 39 to a team that wants that last quarterback on the board in the second round. So I would say that the over-under is 2. Are you over or under?
Trades?
2 trades, I guess by the 33rd pick? I'm not sure.
By the 33rd pick? I'll take 2 trades, up and down.
Okay.
A push.
All right.
Under.
All right, well, that was a good first show with
the new phone line.
I'm wrapping things up. I'm wrapping things up.
We haven't gotten the
email I just want to remind people that...
You have 78 emails that you did not read.
Well, I'm not going to read them now.
Some of them because you had to read them twice.
Thursday, we will not be on
Redskins
at noon.
Redskins trade down to get a lock. What? Redskins trade down. Let me read it again. Redskins trade down to get
Thursday,
a locker.
We will not be on at noon. We'll be on at 8 o'clock.
Prime time.
And at that point, we'll update you
now
on what time we'll be there for Friday.
Will be a very special edition.
We'll also
very special,
Greg's
crazy show. We're going to be taking calls. with this new system.
It's going to be a debacle. More of a debacle than if the league year opens on
now, Thursday. Now, you won't be here. Well, Kevin will be running the show down here.
Plus, we're going to have the tie-in to the TV, too, right?
Okay. And why won't you be here?
I'll be at the draft party.
Doing what?
Running the draft party. I'll be at the draft party, and I'll be stopping by to see you guys.
Yeah, it takes a lot of running to get those pigs in the blanket out on time.
Somebody's got to steal food. Somebody's got to steal food for you guys.
He usually brings some stuff down to us. Don't hate.
If they do have those, I love those. Get a platter.
The pigs in the blanket?
Oh, I love those little ones. The pastry on the
are so fattening, too.
Who cares?
I don't even know what he's talking
what
about.
What do I have once a year?
Hot dogs wrapped in...
You know, little mini hot dogs.
It's wrapped in like a croissant or something.
Yeah. Oh,
it's
so
a high-fat like bread around a high-fat item. That's why Fred looks like that.
That's why Fred complains
about... That's why he can't do a push-up.
Extra larges that aren't as big as they used to be.
As fat shoulders.
I worked out last night.
Good for you, Freddie.
Doing what?
I did. I went to the Y.
16-ounce curls.
You know. I watched Gossip Girl.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for this edition. We will see you Thursday
Good
night.
Good job, Fred.
Good job,
by Fred.
Well
big
done.
Draft show. Can't wait.
Now they're saying a 6 p.m. deadline for tomorrow.
I have a lot of RLADS to read.
Between now and then.
So,
which
will
all be wrong on Thursday.
We'll see you on Thursday.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.